popping? The Drew and Mike Show is in the DealsInTheD.com studios for Wednesday, Tuesday afternoon, if you're live with us on Facebook. And let's see, I should go and mention, we're not on Facebook yet, are we?
Not yet, no.
Okay.
We'll be in a second.
Zotford and DealsInTheD.com is fired up because the community, customers, and Zot Auto team are excited to be back at full strength and safely serve all your needs. The hottest sales staff in Oakland County and Jim Bentley are ready to take care of you. Maybe it's a 2020 Fusion you'd like, as low as $115 a month. 2020 Fusion, $115 a month. How about America's number one truck? A new 2020 Ford F-150 Super Crew XLT 4x4, as low as $125 a month. And don't forget the all-new 2020 Ford Explorer, as little as $198 a month. And then you can own your own vehicle, as many of you like to do. They've got over $10,000 in rebates on tons of inventory, which might be running short if you don't act fast. Call Bentley, call Zotford, or stop in and or make an appointment, I should say. Your best selections today. Get the party started at DealsInTheD.com. That's a great place to start looking for your next set of wheels. And, oh boy, another day of rip-roaring broadcasting from the DealsInTheD.com studios. And where to even start? I saw the, I want to talk about the Trump book, which has some really funny stuff.
Oh, is the one about Melania or the one his niece is writing?
It's about, oh, are those
they're separate
disclosures
books.
Coming from two separate books?
They wrote 12 books. All did very well.
Well, I think this one's about Melania, but it's, of course, about him indirectly. But first, I wanted to say that, and this maybe this will make some people feel justified or verified, America is its unhappiest in 50 years. Yes, the United States of assholes has brought the country to extreme unhappiness, with only 14% of people surveyed saying they're very happy. Two years ago, was that
a surprise to anyone?
I don't think so.
No.
2 years ago, it was 31%, and 50% feel very isolated.
Sad.
23% said that in 2018. The previous low for being very happy was 29%. So
you say it, bro.
When was that? Just out of curiosity.
You know, I don't even know. I think it was quite a while ago.
I'm so happy.
And also, the numbers on being optimistic about kids' futures is extremely low. So
I would be very sad.
We are one miserable pile of
cool
mother bleepers in this country.
All right.
Hey, hearing Mel just reminded me. I got some pictures of Mel. No. Well, I don't want to say Mel. I got some pictures of the Batmobile in Birmingham, Michigan.
Is it Mel's?
It didn't look like Mel behind the wheel.
Did the fire?
No, I'm pretty sure that the Batmobile that you see locally, that's Kevin Adell's.
Really?
Kevin Adell from Channel 38 has a Batmobile?
Yeah, he does. Hell yeah, he does.
Wait. Doesn't Mel have one of those non-competes where nobody can have a Batmobile within 90 miles or something?
This is one of those things where there's just tons of Batmobiles
and
tons of monkey mobiles.
What are they mass-producing Batmobiles?
I mean, it's my car. I pay for everything. I pay for everything around here, right?
Or is Kevin out there?
Has one.
Is he out there driving constantly to blunt Mel?
Here, well, check out the picture on the screen.
It's working. Oh, there's Mr. Adele.
Yes, indeed. Kevin Adele, he runs... he owns
the word
Channel 38, and he's got that
AM 910,
the religious network too.
The
which
word,
is mm-hmm. a big deal. But damn you, Kevin Adell, don't you have enough? You've got a Batmobile in addition to all that.
Wouldn't you like to see him race his Batmobile against Mel's Batmobile?
Yes, I would like to see that.
See who
I don't
wins.
Know if Mel has one, but I mean, I'd like to see.
No, he said he did.
Yeah, Mel's got a Batmobile.
Yeah, that's
really
that's when LaDuff gave him shit for the fire not working.
Oh, he wasn't driving Kevin.
Yeah, you're right. I totally blanked on that.
He wasn't driving Kevin Adell's Batmobile, was he?
It's not a race car.
Oh, I guess the drag race is off.
The car actually runs. If I'm going in like 5 mile an hour traffic on Woodward, it runs at about 180. If I'm on the expressway, it actually runs about 210.
It's a very heavy car, the Batmobile.
Yeah, well, replicas.
Should we? why don't we call Mel?
Oh,
let's see. I mean, who knows? Who knows? Maybe he'll pick up.
No way.
We need to get his thoughts on Kevin Adell having a Batmobile.
Problem is, it's dinner time.
No, that's not a problem. Mel loves talking about his cars, as long as I think we're making fun of him.
Okay.
Which was never.
The Batmobile is the coolest car on the planet.
We have nothing but love for Mel. That's why the whole thing was so distressing. Fight Song Turd 2.
Oh, he's nowhere to be found.
Facebook Live is brought to you by Death Wish Coffee, the world's strongest coffee. It's a serious brew. It'll punch you in the face with double the caffeine of your typical cup of coffee. Cold brew, well, they've got 300 milligrams of caffeine if you're up for it, if you can handle it. If you're too soft to drink strong coffee to give you a jump start, then don't even think about it. You can get this badassery all over Metro Detroit in your favorite grocery stores, Meijer, Kroger, and many others. And if you like to shop online, which most people are doing, we're getting so much credit for it, go to deathwishcoffee.com/Drew for access to all of the coffee products, including the killer merch. I was wearing the Death Wish t-shirt yesterday. Very cool.
Yeah, they want you to know, too, that they've added a belt, and I think there's a cooler on there for Father's Day. And I will quote, as long as your dad's not a pussy, they have Father's Day gifts. I'm scrolling.
Happy Father's Day.
Scrolling them right now. I don't know if Facebook can see it or not, but there's some legit stuff on there.
Okay. And while you're there, use promo code Drew15, by the way. When you go to deathwishcoffee.com/Drew and Mike.
Ooh, they have a pool float.
Go to deathwishcoffee.com/Drew and Mike. Hit Drew15 at checkout to save 15% in your entire order. But yeah, they've got all the merch over there. It's crazy.
Nice.
Our friends at Death Wish Coffee. So, let's dial up Mel. I got to know.
Pull his number up, Brandon.
People, I got the picture from, different pictures from three people. So we actually have three listeners who happened to be walking around Birmingham when the Batmobile was there.
But you don't think it's him?
No, or I don't Brandon think it was. I don't think it was him. I don't think it was Kevin either. It was a gray-haired guy.
It sounds like there's one in every city now.
I mean, it's a Batmobile in every garage.
Kevin's got gray hair.
Oh,
salt and peppery. You know.
He looks. I tell you though, how old's that picture, Brandon? His hair looks lighter than this dude.
I think it's just this picture is just a few years back because I want to say they did a story on it when he purchased it.
You know, I've been thinking about it for quite some time now.
This picture is from 2013, so Kevin Adell's had it for 7 years.
In the whole wide world.
I'm sure Mel's had it longer.
You are my best friend. You are my best friend.
It's the kind of song we need to repair things with Mel.
You're my best friend in the world.
Oh, Mel, you're such a great person.
He's not going to answer now.
I like spending time with you.
He knows what this number is.
You're so smart.
I don't think Mel. I don't think.
He's not there. Jolly message?
Yeah.
At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, Mel, it's Drew. Drew and Mike show. We're being besieged with pictures of somebody driving a Batmobile around. I think either your Batmobile's been stolen or somebody else has one. Rumor is Kevin Adell. We need disclosure on this.
Please.
And something's got to be done. You should have a non-compete. There should be no Batmobiles within 90 miles, at least.
Ever.
And hopefully your Batmobile's safe and sound. Anyway, Mel, hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
Miss you, Mel. Love you, Mel.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Bye.
And I've come to the conclusion that you, Mel.
Damn, the song ran out. The song ran out. I had to restart it.
You are my best friend. You are my best friend. You are my best friend in the world. You're my best friend.
That was Mel's voicemail on the Hall Financial Hotline.
Yeah, well, replicas.
Boy, we sure do have a lot of Mel drops, don't we? It's almost like he never left.
Who needs the real Mel?
It has a Flowmaster exhaust, which I guess is impressive enough that they put it in the Flowmaster calendar in 2008.
Why am I absolutely riveted by every Mel drop? Every one of them. I'm just like, oh my God, a Mel drop.
This is the best. This is my
it
favorite.
Disappeared, and then about 10 years ago, it reappeared in Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico.
I was just going to buy Puerto Rico.
Anybody else on the Hall Financial Hotline today besides Mel?
I guess that's a plan, unless it's raining.
No, he's going to think I'm laughing. I'm not laughing at Mel. The way he talks is truly unique, one of a kind.
Yeah, no.
And his love of his cars, by the way, I don't know what it is, but when he's behind the wheels, doesn't he look just absolutely wired, fired up out of his mind?
It doesn't operate. It's just for looks.
Oh, man.
It went through what they called a 100-point restoration just before I bought it.
A 100-point restoration?
Yeah.
Sounds pretty intense.
Like I think they make sure, hey, left blinker's working, that's one. Right blinker's working, that's two. Brights are working, that's three. And then pretty much every little thing in the car.
So the guy selling it, much like George Bush's 1,000 points of light, what if we have a 100-point restoration? Wouldn't that be – that sounds great.
As long as you buy it from a reputable place.
Well, I bought it at a Barrett Jackson auction.
You can't beat that. There's no
way. Yeah, but sometimes it's
replicas. Is that the answer you want to hear?
Yes, thank you, Mel.
I wonder if Kevin Adell drive that thing around everywhere? I think Kevin would enjoy being seen in his Batmobile. I'm just saying.
Who
wouldn't,
man?
No, of course. But I think Kevin would enjoy it probably more than a lot of people. Just saying.
I'm just saying.
Anybody else for the Hall Financial Hotline?
No, and remember, I was going to look up a number for Amazon to call and complain because there's a bunch of murderous books still up there.
Absolutely.
They claimed they were going to take down Chad Daybell's books. And I found a number and I called it. And it's the longest COVID-19 message. And basically them saying, there's no one to answer the phone anymore at Amazon. Which I believe...
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they can't afford to have someone answering the phone.
I believe
they should have 50 people in a boiler room answering the phone.
I think this is their way of getting away from it. Well, people can answer the phone from home if they worked at the Amazon helpline.
I'm sorry. I cannot think of any reason why Amazon should not have a human being, a well-paid human being, answering the phone every single time. No one ever on hold.
Because they don't want to.
Yeah, you're right. They don't want to. But that's crap.
I did come
It should not be that easy for Bezos.
I came across this gem of a review on Amazon because, you know, they have like a forum where people can talk to each other.
If it's anything above a one star, I will not allow you to read it.
Well, it's just kind of an open forum, and the subject is need a 1-800 number to call customer service.
Yeah.
And so the top review is, I've been a customer since 1999.
Ooh.
As if Amazon's been around much longer than
that. I mean, as if Amazon has its gold star customers they revere so much.
Yeah, they're Prime members.
Hey, Mark's been with us since 1999.
I've been ripped off by Amazon 3 times since COVID. 2 were from third-party sellers, so I decided only to shop directly with Amazon, and I've been ripped off by them, too. I'm out over $200, and I can't find a way to contact them. I find it really important.
Hope you're okay without those $200.
Well, what do you always call? What do you say?
If you need the money that bad, you just keep it.
No, well, what's it called when you manage your time and your money?
Oh, time management. Yeah, opportunity cost.
Yeah. I find it really poor customer service that they make it, so I had to find an 800 number. Nice sentence. They might be rolling into cash due to COVID, but they will lose customers due to their really poor service. And here's the way it ends, which is the best ending of any post ever. Get your shit together, Bezos! As if he's sitting there scrolling through.
I so love the idea of Bezos reading that.
And then crying.
He seems like he would be nicked up a little bit by that one.
Get your shit together, Bezos.
Why does Bezos, I mean, if I see him, I think he could be the biggest shark, you know, the most horrible person ever. Because to get to the top, you got to run over some people.
Sure.
But he always looks very unthreatening to me.
He was kind of nerdy in the old days.
Yeah.
And now that he's shaving his head. And
he's hot now, so I guess it's all
different.
Got his
blood boy and his vest. And ever since Michael Sanchez gave him a makeover.
Michael Sanchez. I can't wait till that case.
Who the hell is Eduardo Sanchez?
Well, speaking of, I guess Amazon, I don't know. Are they a platform? They're a big tech company. Anyway, it reminded me of this eBay story today about eBay harassing a customer. Did you hear about this?
There's someone like a goat's head. Is that the same story?
Yes. Pig's head.
Pig's head. Okay.
Okay. Pig eBay. There's a couple that actually was publishing a newsletter, you know, maybe I don't know, once a month or something. And they're Brandon.
What?
I can't believe you heard that, Drew.
Huh?
What do you mean, what? Don't play dumb. That's insulting.
You
I did not
know.
See the story about any kind of cut off pig's heads, no kind of boar's heads, nothing.
No, about that fart. Your anus was directed right at the microphone.
But in the basement, like, the microphone doesn't pick up on it in the basement, and not like at the studio.
Oh, it's directional?
It just did, though.
Well, no, then your anus was directly pointed at it because it's a directional mic.
Stop saying anus.
What kind of excuse is the basement doesn't pick up my anus?
What the hell? What the hell is that?
eBay, huh?
Hey, I do have a fun fart story too today. So,
well, what's the fun fart story?
You want that one now? I suppose.
I mean, is it a long story? How long a fart story can there be?
You're right. It's very short. I just have to find it. So now I'm under pressure to actually.
I'll finish the eBay story. So this couple's, they have a lot of beefs with eBay. I think a lot of people have beefs with eBay. That's not that unusual, is it?
No, not at all.
But they put out a newsletter. So somebody apparently was really angry about this newsletter. And I guess they kind of took it up the chain. Mm. And to the point that it sounds like virtually the heads of eBay were aware of this newsletter.
Really?
Yes. And six ex-employees have been charged with cyber stalking a couple outside of Boston. And they did send them it's a pig's head, or it's a replica of a pig's head. This is amazing. These eBay employees traveled from California to Boston to spy on this couple.
My God.
And a lot of claims that the CEO may have been aware of the stalking activity. But he left eBay. So he says he wasn't aware, and he left eBay. I don't know when he left. But they said it went on for over a month. And there was a clear conspiracy to cyberstalk and terrorize these two people.
All because they made a newsletter.
Yeah, they were angry at eBay. And they apparently, I don't know if they were looking to, you know, bring people together against eBay or to take some action. But
don't you wonder, like, why were they so mad at eBay?
I wonder that, but I also wonder, why is eBay so mad at them? It's like, yeah. What?
Yeah. Wonder they have a auction that went bad.
No, it sounds...
I think the bid before my final bid was $350 bucks?
Man, I could have bought that.
Man. I got really mad.
Oh, man.
All right, here's the fart story. If you think our police are bad, imagine being in Austria. A man in Vienna has been fined 500 euros for breaking wind in front of police.
What?
Yeah. A newspaper there reported that the fine stemmed from an incident on June 5th, and the offender was fined for, quote, offending public decency, because he farted at the police.
City police, in other words, held a fart and then he blasted it at the cops.
Yeah.
Is that legal? I mean, that's really funny.
You got a ticket for it.
I mean, is that legal here? Could I do that if I wanted to?
Do we have an offending public decency?
I mean, is there a statute that would cover it if the cop went, you know, that guy just came up and farted on me? That's so disrespectful. There's got to be some statute.
I'm done with that fart. You want that?
City police wrote on Twitter that, of course, no one is reported for accidentally letting one go. So he got up from a park bench, looked at officers, and let, quote, a massive intestinal wind, apparently with full intent, and our colleagues don't like to be farted at so much. Well, no one likes to be farted at. What a silly story. John on Facebook Live said, freedom of speech in America. I guess that
it reminds
twice of the anus, right, Brandon?
No American guy would ever wish.
For crying out loud.
That was aimed right at me.
Yeah, it's trajectory. Its trajectory was right towards your belly button.
That's what I meant to say.
No American guy would ever wish crying out loud. That was aimed right at me. Its trajectory is right towards your belly button.
That's what I wanted to say about Brandon's fart, is that his anus was... What's the word I used? Trajectory. It's the trajectory of his anus was right at the directional mic, which gave it that amplified sound.
It was. Wait. Were you, I wonder, was he on Facebook Live when you did it?
Brandon? Yeah, yes, yes.
Go back and watch.
Are we still on Facebook Live?
I'm pretty confident that the camera was probably directed at Drew during that time because he was talking. I was only taking notes.
Just take ownership, man.
At a pretty big
on, Brandon. Own it. Own the fart.
Own it and love it.
Spaghetti.
Dig it.
For God's sake.
Spaghetti.
Had some pistachios, too.
On the...
At your defense. Carry on.
As far as platforms, there was another story today. I don't know what it is. You know, I never really... When Facebook came along and eBay and Twitter... And Google and all these people, my gut reaction is usually to say, well, what a great success story. You know, what a miraculous thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, somebody's making tons and tons of money and more power to them. I mean, that's sort of my first reaction. Then
that looks like futuristic, beautiful stuff.
And then, of course, as time goes on, you realize and also these people, I think, try to project themselves as sort of.
Egalitarian.
Yeah, caring people, and we take care of our people, and we're family, and, you know, all that
baloney. We have a ping pong table.
Yeah. We have open space. And this is what people want. We have whatever people want.
We have free food.
We have a nursery. Yeah. Women could go nurse the babies, and nobody will stare at them or get mad at them. You know, they've got everything. They've got child care. You know, just they
like
care.
Just like Vivid Video, we have child care.
But as time
tremendous
goes on...
school.
You find out that they really are just like any other entrepreneur. In fact, maybe worse, because they make so much epping money and they just don't care about so many things that they should care about. And today I'll take the finger of blame and point it at GoFundMe.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about GoFundMe. Just like every other platform, they vet nothing. Absolutely nothing. And so what bothers me about this is, I mean, don't you feel like there are a ton of GoFundMes that aren't vetted, where people collect money and they don't spend it on what they said they were going to spend it on?
Yes. Yeah. And there is a new one, which I think that's where you're going with this, right?
Yes. And this happens all the time. And of course, they always make a big to-do over, remember that homeless guy and the lady that ran out of gas and everybody fell in love with him because he gave her his last $20 to fill up the tank. Well, it turned out the story was complete BS. It was planned. They had a GoFundMe planned for the homeless guy. Like, let's change his life. Can you believe he did this? He gave his last $20 to this poor woman that ran out of gas. They raised $425,000, and they start traveling the world and buying new cars, and they put the homeless guy in a trailer on their property. And he ends up saying, hey, I didn't get shit out of this. And he blows the whistle on him, which is pretty funny.
Doesn't it seem really weird? I mean, you would think that it's, or I think there's a feeling that it's kind of a charity type site, you know, a feel good site, but it's not. It's a big business.
Oh, it's a huge business. They are making money hand over fist. And this is why it makes me so mad.
$9 billion in the last decade. $9 billion. Is how much has been raised on the platform. What's their
raised?
Cut? What's their cut?
A couple percent.
In 2015, they were valued at $900 million.
Well, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So they're making money hand over fist.
They get 5%.
With the 5%, a little steep.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great idea. I mean, I'm totally down with everything. And, you know, we've seen cases where, oh, isn't that nice that GoFundMe exists so that, you know, the guy that walked 10 miles to work every day, our friend who we had in studio, and, you know, he was, I wonder what he's up to, by the way, with his $370,000 because he bought a car. And he was a working dog. I got to believe he's still working.
He's a great guy.
But, What's his? Can we look him up? Is there any way? Because remember the guy, our friend we met from the bank, was going to watch his investments and was going to take care of him, and it was all going to be good, good, good. And I'm really believe that one probably is. I hope.
Yeah.
But there were people trying to rip him off immediately.
James Robertson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There should be an update on him. Anyway, so, you know, like the guy in Clio whose truck was bastardized with racist slogans and, you know, swastikas that were backwards. Juneteenth, you know, that was when it happened. Mm-hmm. And that was when I learned what Juneteenth meant. I guess I wasn't paying attention in school, and I'll take the rap for that, but
I didn't teach it.
He had two GoFundMes, and it seemed that the amount raised was a lot more than paying the truck. I mean, it seemed like, I don't know, I don't think GoFundMe spent any time on it, though. I don't think they spent any time on anything other than counting their own money. Because I can't believe how many people go, did you hear who's got a GoFundMe? And it's always something where you go, what? And then you find out that, what, they're actually raising money?
Yeah.
And, you know, for example, okay, I'll just go here. Stormy Daniels security.
Yeah. Well, a lot of that's an Avenatti.
Right.
Isn't that an Avenatti thing?
Avenatti, who is the biggest weasel and steals millions of dollars from people who are paralyzed and on. I mean, you can go on and on and on about what a horrible son of a bitch Avenatti is. But people gave money right away. And eventually Stormy said, hey, I thought that was GoFundMe for me. I didn't even know where the money went. And then I think Avenatti must have sent her a check because she shut up.
So I do want to correct something now. It does seem like in 2018, they dropped the 5% fee per donation and now rely on tips left by donors to support the website. But there's still the online credit card payments and fees that they have to do. That's really interesting.
I don't know if I believe that, but I'll try.
Well, they have to be making the money somehow.
Well, if they're worth $900 million, wouldn't you think they could put, I don't know, $20 million aside to do some vetting?
Yeah.
You know, because these things just they go right up. You don't. I mean, there's literally no vetting. If I said, you know, Mark needs a new heart tomorrow, and you didn't show up for work,
can we get one anyway? I'm going to need one someday.
Well, you know, as a joke, it would be kind of funny to start one like that and just see how far it goes.
Until Fox 2 wants to do a story.
No, we've seen a lot of joke GoFundMes or Kickstarters or
that raise a lot of money.
Stuff happen. You know, the guy with the potato salad, didn't he make $50,000 because he just wanted to make potato salad?
I tried to get that guy a radar gun who lived along 696. Couldn't get enough money raised for him.
Well,
Bills, you remember that? You remember Bill got sick and he got hurt and all this bad stuff happened to him within a month. He overdosed on my medication. He got that weird corneal ulcer in his eyeball. And then he had that photo, what is it called? Paraphimosis, where he had the red rocket that wouldn't go away.
You had to push it back in.
And so
with your mouth.
I jokingly put up a Bills GoFundMe.
The only way.
And within a couple of days, there was like $380 in it. And then I felt really guilty about it. And I never collected the money and let it go back to all the people that donated.
Do you know what the top fundraiser is?
It's Me Too, right?
No, not anymore. It was George Floyd, and that got blown out of the water. It's now looks like it's Breonna Taylor's. Okay. $5.9 million.
You know, this is really interesting, too, because there's so much guilt. I mean, we all feel so bad about George Floyd. That when somebody starts a GoFundMe, people just go, oh, I just want to help, write a check, which is what we do. For, you know, a lot of us just like to write a check for almost anything that we feel bad about. I mean, it's like the best way to get money out of people is when they feel really bad about something. So, I mean, don't you always wonder, though, like, wow, $5.9 million. I wonder what the, did they buy a new place? Or they? I mean, it would be fun. I don't want a forensic accountant to bust them for anything. I would like a forensic accountant just to show me, like, lifestyle changes.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to be flip about it. I know they're in dire straits. They're upset and all that. But, I mean, $6 million, I think it does help, right? Yeah. I mean, it helps. Nobody's going to deny me that, are they?
No, no.
And
at all.
It'd be kind of cool to see. I'd love
to see a documentary. Can someone just make a documentary on
it? Yeah,
that?
I mean, if Robin Leach were around, say, could we put them on Lifestyles Rich and the Famous? Because they are now, and we could just see, you know, see them enjoying their life.
Yeah.
And, you know, they got this big ass pool, and, you know, mom's driving a big fat Cadillac. And, I mean, it's so completely inappropriate. to want to see the largesse of it, but
it's like ripping on a Mitch Album column. I'm not making fun of it, I just would like to see it be interesting to see,
I mean, if they really changed at all, because maybe they would change, maybe they become really upscale people and start acting like that too. I mean, in a weird, like, what if they became really snobby?
Oh, nouveau riche. is that what it is?
Yeah. I hardly think they would do that. But
it's
no problem for me.
I've come into a little nest egg. My mother died.
I think I'm overselling the idea because I'm sure a lot of people would like to see. You know, Rodney King, when he died, he had blown all his cash.
Yeah.
And that would be an interesting forensic accountant exercise, too, to find out how did he blow it out his ass? What were the top 10 poor financial decisions Rodney King made?
Yeah, well, a lot of it alcohol. Fortunately.
You can't spend $4.4 million
on alcohol.
Rodney
could. No. What? He drank a lot.
He did the ESPN 30 for 30 broke, but doing like a documentary on people who've received a ton of different crowdfunding like that and see where that money's going.
Interesting. I mean, these lottery winners, they always blow it out their ass.
You know what they should do with it? They should go maybe buy some classic cars.
Well, I bought it at a Barrett Jackson auction. Yeah, well, replicas.
Now, Rodney King, did anybody watch Celebrity Rehab besides me?
Yeah, a little bit of it. That intro was fantastic.
Yeah, with Rodney puking out the door of his truck at work, which was weird because I'm like, Rodney King works? Why does he work? You wouldn't think he'd have to work. But Rodney...
It's a really sad story.
It is a sad story. And you know what? He was a sweet guy. He was a very likable person, and I really liked him. And if you watch Celebrity Rehab, you had to like him. He was just a nice person.
Yeah.
So Rodney gets to the end of Celebrity Rehab, and it's like, we're going to help you. He was mixed up in some very complicated financial garbage that was all bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like people wanted money to start a business, and then he would be on the hook for shit.
It's amazing how many times people can't say no.
I know it's really
like Rodney
sad
couldn't say
because
no.
He was a nice guy.
Yeah,
but and those are the people you just want to shoot these assholes
hang
who go hey Rodney King got 4.4. Let's hit him up for blah blah blah.
Yeah,
and it's just and these lottery winners say that immediately they're just besieged with people. So anyway, Rod King when Celebrity Rehab came to an end, they go. Rodney said, they wanted to go help him, and Rodney was really kind of declining it, like, it's okay, I just wanted to quit drinking, and they said, well, we've heard that, you know, your house might be kind of a mess, and Rodney was like, no, I don't want you going over to my house, and they had already done it. They'd already gone over there, cleaned it up. It was the biggest mess, and, you know, liquor bottles everywhere. It was just, you know, he's an alcoholic, and the pool, he had a pool, and I think the pool was...
Was it drained?
I think it was drained.
Yeah. Well, but that's anyway, where he died. Wasn't he found dead in the pool?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he drowned in the pool.
Oh, fuck, Rod.
Yeah.
Anyway, they cleaned up his house, and it was really nice, and everything was going to be good again. And then I don't even know, why did he die in the pool? I assumed
he was just hammered. Oh, here's his autopsy. Accidental drowning, alcohol, cocaine, and PCP were found in his system.
PCP again?
Yeah. Cardio...
Wait, PCP was what he was on in the Hyundai, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because he withstood, I mean, he fought like a mofo.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh,
he had a cardiac arrhythmia, too.
So sad.
That's just awful.
Well, the Hall Financial Hotline.
He was once shot on a bike. November 2007, he was riding home on a bicycle, and he was shot in the face, arm, and back with pellets from a shotgun. They wanted to rob him for his bike. And they shot him when he rode away. A lot of bad luck, man. Did you know he wrote a memoir?
Rodney did?
It's not for sale.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, he died 2 months after the memoir came out.
Oh, I'd like to read Rodney's memoir.
Great title for his memoir, too. The Riot Within. My journey from rebellion to redemption.
I thought it'd be, can't we all get along? Hall Financial wants to help you refinance your house and save some money. I mean, they could help you do some other things, too. They could help you take money out of your house if, you know, maybe your employment hasn't worked out or it's not what it was or you've got one less income in the household. If for any reason you need cash to take out of your house, maybe that's a reason you want to talk to Hall Financial. Or maybe it'd be nice to skip a couple payments, lower your interest rate, and save some money. Hall Financial, call them at 248-308-5000. Their service is fast, very fast. Go to the website, click our website, click the logo, and get started. Fill out the online form. Or go to davidhallmortgage.com/Drew and Mike. Lower payments, better options, more personal attention from Hall Financial. If you haven't refinanced in the last year, they think it's worth your time to make a call. And they have people who refinanced 2.5 years ago have refinanced and saved significant money. So there you go.
And big news about home sales. Did you see that story about home sales in the Detroit News?
I did not. I saw the headline, but not the story.
Once restrictions were lifted in May, sales are pretty much back to normal. In April, there were 2,423 pending sales in Michigan. And in May, there were 7,833.
Well, I think demand got backed up, and so have kind of an explosive effect in some areas, and others are recovering more slowly. I'll say this about Mesa. Mesa had a really good week last week. Really good week. With half capacity, people were lined up constantly. The place was full, half full all the time, as opposed to really full, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, maybe Sunday, you know, maybe on a nice day. So it was a crazy good week, but we haven't opened the mezzanine yet because we don't have enough people.
Ugh. Oh, the workers, employees.
Yeah, we can't, you know, we had 9 new people and we had 8 of them left. And I don't know, we still have the Mesa 13, the 13 people who worked all through COVID and busted their asses.
Yeah,
the Mesa 13.
Wait, I thought it was like 8 last time. Now it's
well,
like 13.
Well, no, there were more. Matt and I talked about
counting yourself?
No, I'm not in the Mesa 13. I refuse to take credit because these people, when we became a carryout business, these people really busted their asses and they really converted the whole operation. And it wasn't like 13 people were there all the time, but I mean, it took 13 people to keep that carryout business going, and it went really well. I mean, they did a great job. And
13.
One of the reasons Mesa's doing well now is because, like, Mr. B's hasn't reopened.
Yeah, less competition.
There's people who've gone out of business completely. And so, you know, there we are in Royal Oak, which is, you know, Royal Oak's a great place to hang. It's still a great place to hang out. And people couldn't wait to go there. And when they would go and they'd say, oh, boy, we got to wait, people would just putz around Royal Oak for an hour and they'd come back.
Well, I was reading a story about what's going to change going forward, and then they were talking about the restaurant industry. One of the things that I think going forward is going to be more reservations because people don't want to wait outside or because, you know, there's limited capacity right now. So they want more reservations, to which I was just like, oh, man, I'm just you and I both hate having to make a reservation for a movie. Brandon loves it.
Oh, I hate it. I hate it, hate it, hate it.
It's like it's terrible.
I always thought a movie
was
something.
Where's the spontaneity in life?
Yeah, movies are the one thing where I go, God, I'd love to go to a movie theater today and watch a movie.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you find
out. Yeah, you can do that.
Oh, well, it just opened yesterday, and so all of them are sold out until 1 in the morning. Can you go at 1 in the morning? No, I'm not going 1 in the fucking morning.
And you have to sit in the front row, and your friend has to sit in the
left hand. Oh, my God, you guys are barbarians. That's the reason why stuff like Imagine and pre-buying the seats is so perfect. Now, I grew up. Right,
it's not
next to
that
a movie
perfect.
Theater.
They do a good job, but not that perfect.
I went to the movie theater all the time, and I went there with large groups. And yeah, every time you're just a little bit late, or every time you want to get something from the concession stands, but you're cutting it close. If you don't go in there too soon, yeah, you're going to have to break up your party, or you're going to have to sit in the front row. And who likes doing that stuff? So what I love is I decide, you know what, I really want to see a movie.
Pick shittier movies, Brandon.
I just select my seat, and I'm good. Yeah. It's called technology.
Is it in 3D?
No.
Not interested.
I know, but I just
it's called spontaneity.
I don't plan it. Yeah, I don't plan that far.
I don't plan it either, but like if it pops in my head, instead of driving out there and hoping that I get a seat, I can look on my phone and figure out if I can get a seat tonight or not.
The other thing that there's reservations for right now is the Detroit Zoo. If you're a member, you have to pick out a time which is a pain in the ass, too.
But you blocked from even talking about
the zoo!
I know.
Talking about Detroit Zoo?
The unblock Mark Fell movement on Twitter just isn't going anywhere. I'm still blocked.
Really? Did and you tweet something out? Because I'll retweet it.
A listener did, and then I said, I think I feel like I've served my penance, and that I should be
I agree.
Able to view it. And then if you look at their header, it's got a picture of a giraffe, which is probably the one banging the other giraffe, which got me banned in the first place.
Or he's just the child that banging created.
He's just looking at me like, yeah, got you, motherfucker. That's what you get for taking a picture of my rod.
It's pretty much my favorite animal.
Well, I want to talk more about movies because there's something I thought, I don't know why this sort of made me laugh, because I think it's going to have a good outcome, but it involves movies and something local, and it's kind of interesting. Just stand by for a second. We have a boner line coming up, too.
Yeah.
Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and DealsInAD.com is all fired up because their community customers and Zot team are excited to be back at full strength and safely serve you. They've got all the important aspects of COVID taken care of, the distancing, the disinfecting and all that business. They can deliver your car if you're like, oh, I don't want to go anywhere. I'm still not up with that. Or I don't like wearing a mask or whatever it might be.
Do you have to make an appointment to go visit them?
You're supposed to make an appointment.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
I mean, you
I
are.
Take back everything I said about making appointments.
During Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram's Drive Forward event, feel free to go online. Wait, you used to know it's just open now, isn't it?
I think it?
It
is.
Yeah, it's just
I
open.
Think.
During their enhanced online shopping experience, you can check out unprecedented deals at dealsinthed.com at Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram. They've got the 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn for only $188 a month. If you like Jeeps, you'll dig the 2020 Loaded Jeep Compass at just $155 a month. And there's always a new 2020 Jeep Grand Cherokee as low as $247 a month.
Nice.
And Wrangler. Right now, get Zot's employee pricing for everyone, 0% financing, and $1,500 in rebates if you want a new Jeep Wrangler right now. Speaking of right now, you have to hurry because, as you know, the shutdown is inventory drying up quickly. That means your best selection is today. So go to dealsinthed.com, and you can see you can see everything. You can even see Zot Toyota's.
At a Barrett Jackson auction.
You can see Zot Toyota stuff. You can see all the Zot stuff. Luke Nowacki, he is available too. And I think they're doing mostly, I mean, why not do a Zoom with Luke?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's so easy.
All right, man.
Because people are doing it that way now. I think you probably could go see him in person if I'm sure they have arrangements. But why not just do a Zoom with Luke and catch up on what you should be doing? I just got a note from Matt who helps me with something else. And he was telling me about, you know, this is up, this is down. This and
Who's like, that dude?
My head was spinning, and I thought, oh, my God, it is a good time to look at these things. And that's why Luke would like to talk to you. Maybe it's your 401k, or maybe you buy some stocks, or maybe you sort of putz around in mutual funds, or whatever it is. Well, how are those things doing, and how are they affected by the current economy and the economic situation? Was the market up today?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, about 2%.
Wow. Well, call Luke Nowacki if you'd like to get advice. If you want to put a financial plan together, if you don't have one, you should. Maybe it's a 529 for the kids' college. You've been thinking, oh, boy, how are we going to take care of it? Well, just talk to Luke Nowacki and see if he can help you at 248-663-4748. You can email him at lnowacki@pinnaclewealthstrategies.com. Security Investment Advisory Services offered through Reliance Associates Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. Reliance Associates Incorporated, separately owned other entities and or marketing names, product services, reference here. Independent Reliance Associates Incorporated.
Hey, just right here, some breaking news from the Red Shovel Network. And shit.
All right, just a quickie here. I did go on the Mark's Twitter so I could retweet that for you, Drew. You're welcome.
Thank you.
I noticed that Mark was sitting at 9,999 followers.
Whoa, really?
Whoa!
Congratulations, Brad Moyer, at Detroit underscore Brad. You beat out Mel Bakersfeld. You are now the 10,000th follower of Mark.
Wow. That's pretty neat.
No kidding.
You get a lot of retweets for that.
Hey, are we off Facebook?
No. Do you want to be off Facebook?
No, I was just asking because I can't tell because my screen shows me nothing.
Oh, yeah. Can you put that up there for me?
There, and I don't see it live up there. So, again, if I want to pick my butt on camera, I can't know that I'm doing it.
There's insanity in the control room.
That's a little, it's a problem.
I know. I'm really kind of fed up with Facebook. I'm fed up with being watched. I just feel like it's not my
It's not my best thing.
Someone in that control room is out of control.
I'm fed up.
I'm not exciting enough.
I'm fed up with teleconferencing.
Oh, I'm so fed up with it. You know, when I hear a bad Zoom, I just don't want to listen to it.
I know.
And there's a lot of them online. And these shows like Kimmel Zooming with people. And I'm like, wait a second. This is a show on the ABC network. Yeah. And there's a shitty sounding person on there.
Have you been watching him on the regular at all?
A little bit, yeah.
Who are his guests? Like, who's he having on?
All kinds of people. I mean,
all kinds of celebrities. Because
I think it's been the usual. I mean, Jimmy's, that's a funny show. I mean, there's a lot of great bits always up front. Maybe a little less of that because it's hard, probably hard to film stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think his guests have been fairly typical.
So the reason I ask is because I usually put on Colbert as I'm trying to fall asleep, and I'm always out within 3 minutes, which is a good thing. But I see the guests line up, and I'm like, it hit me last night because I think he had the guy from CBS This Morning on, was going to be a guest, and it's always people like in the news, and it hit me. It's like, oh, celebrities have nothing to promote right now.
Oh, no, they don't.
There's
right.
Just a handful of movies that come out every week, maybe one or two. You know, there's no TV shows. There's no concerts. So it's just weird. There's nothing to promote, so there's no guests, and the guests are the most boring people in the world.
Well, I did see, like, Jimmy Fallon. He's brought on some of his old friends, like Horatio Sands, and it's like, whoa, where's that guy
doing?
Been? And it was actually a really funny bit.
Yeah, it is. I think that there's some leaning on the on those types of people because there aren't as many people who are promoting stuff, and they you know, I don't know when they're going to get back to full schedule. It's kind of strange.
Be able to do it in front of a crowd.
Well, I mean, a person in every fourth seat or whatever that just would look so weird.
Yeah,
and
but I think it's forgiven now. I mean, everybody knows the deal.
It holds 22,000.
I'm worried about sports now because now you're just seeing coronavirus outbreak, coronavirus outbreak, coronavirus outbreak within all these little teams or groups. And baseball, isn't baseball claiming they have a bunch right now too?
Mm-hmm.
So that's never going to happen. Baseball's not going to be back this year.
It doesn't sound like it. And honestly, it's ironic watching the 30-30 about Sammy and Maguire. You know, their steroid bloated bodies bringing baseball back from the great strike of 94 as baseball refuses to get their shit together and get on the field. Because honestly, what in the world are they waiting for? I mean, isn't it just
I don't know.
Isn't speed of the essence right now?
Well, it's not going to get any safer.
No. And by the way, these guys are healthy. They're not going to die from coronavirus. If they did, it would be very rare and unusual. And probably if there are players who are compromised that have diabetes or heart conditions or lung or immunity issues, then they can't play.
I think the idea is, though, that you don't want them to be sick and then pass it on to the billionaire owner who might die.
Today, six MLB owners. Hey, there's a report out that six MLB owners do not want to play. So when you have
the Mets,
a nice chunk.
The Mets are one.
Wait, Brandon, why do they not want to play? So, because of coronavirus?
Well, the Mets are one because they would actually lose money this year if they paid, if they have to pay their the Mets would save money by not playing. I don't know who the other ones are.
Is that why, Brandon? They all are just figure I'm going to lose a ton of money anyway. So what the bleep?
Well, it doesn't really give an exact reason. It's just there's a report that 6 to 8 owners have told people that they don't want to play this year. They told I don't know if it was Ken Rosenthal or whatever, but you know there's an issue with money. There's an issue with health, and it's just stuck in limbo. I don't know why the other three get away with it and why they can start.
Because they have. Sharing, you know.
Well, yeah, they have
can only spend so much of the profits. They have collective bargaining, where baseball doesn't.
It's really kind of embarrassing when people who are making this much money can't figure out how to divide it to play. When I would think the return of baseball would be celebrated like it will never be celebrated again. I mean, honestly, if they skip this season because they're making too much money, we're not making enough money, then when it returns in April next year or late March, it's not going to be like, oh, my God, baseball. It's going to be like, oh, those greedy jackasses are finally back on the field.
Just like, you know, 94, because we needed those steroids to get us into that sweet 1998 home run chase. I'm telling you. I was so hooked because of that. Every single day I wanted to know if one of those two guys crushed a home run. Earlier in the season, you know, it was three guys because Ken Griffey Jr., but I was glued to it.
That reminds me, I never got to play my favorite part from that documentary. And now that we're off Facebook, I'm going to queue it up for you.
Wait, is it going to be Jack Buck crying?
You ruined it. You spoiled it. I could not stop laughing at that.
I thought it was so silly. Why is he crying?
He was so moved. He was just moved.
But
he saw a record broke. He spent his life serving the game of baseball, and he got to watch it. He got to call it. He got to see the record.
I want a forensic accountant to find out, was he crying at the birth of his children?
Oh, I would think so. He definitely passed.
I don't know.
Are you really?
Well, I don't know. That's why I like a forensic accountant.
Well, what's more exciting? Mark McGwire's home run or watching Joe Buck be birthed?
For Jack Buck, watching Joe Buck be birthed.
I think so.
I made a call, and I think I said he did it about 9 times and then shut up. And I looked over in the Cardinal booth.
There's another example of nepotism
Chip Carey.
Baseball. Yeah, Chip Carey.
Is he good? Do you think he's good?
I you know what? I don't watch enough to know.
I never liked that these Carey brats were doing games. It's like, well, of course they have to give them the job. They're Harry Carey's brats.
Tonight's broadcaster, the Carey brats.
They should start a band and call it the Carey brats.
By the way, Patty Cakes is giving me shit because I said Wrigley's overrated. He's very upset at that.
Wait, who's overrated?
I said Wrigley Field, I think, is overrated.
I think he said that yesterday when you were upstairs. He was talking mad shit, Drew.
I think it's cool that it's in a neighborhood. I think that charm is great. I just think sitting in the park, it's just kind of...
He said the Cubs suck and Ernie Banks sucks, too.
I did not say that. Well,
sitting in any park can be like, it's just the park.
He said Ryan Sandberg spells his name stupid.
The sight lines are kind of weak. There's obstructed view. Why is that?
Oh, come on, the sight lines.
And Mark said that Sammy Sosa is white now.
Well, that's true. The sight lines...
It's an old stadium. So the concourses are thin.
If we moved your seat 3 inches to the left, it would have been wonderful.
Well, maybe.
Mark said that the ivy on the wall is tacky.
It is tacky.
The ivy on the wall, you've got the little man in the scoreboard changing the blocks.
I use the word tiny.
Mark said Rookie of the Year was the worst baseball movie ever because it was starring the Cubbies.
Oh, man. I can't believe I'm here.
He said Henry Rowan Gunner sucks.
Will you stop it? I didn't say any of this.
Check out yesterday's show, bro.
Let's just watch an old man cry. After we hear the Carey brats ramble.
I still can't get a fat bat boy update on McGwire's kid.
He was on there.
I know. I saw him. He looks soft.
And I looked over in the Cardinal booth.
Not genetically related.
What's that?
There's crying.
And tears are streaming down his cheeks. And that's when the enormity of this moment hit me, because generationally speaking, here's a man who's given his life to the St. Louis Cardinals and saw a record broken that many of us thought would never, ever happen.
Pussy!
I'm there. Jack's there. Joe Buck is there.
Who else is crying? McGwire wasn't crying.
Jack Buck just stood there.
Roger Maris Jr. wasn't crying.
Nobody else in the ballpark.
I saw him crying.
He's a weird-looking crier, too.
By the way, if I was the Maris family, I would not have been emotional about it. It's like... My dad had a record. I would have been rooting against McGwire, actually. I would not want to be there. I want to be at home hoping he strikes out.
Free trip to the park.
Yeah, free trip. I got past it.
No, I disagree with that, because you know what? For that Maris family, they probably that year, that chase, brought back so many great memories and anecdotes of their father.
Oh, their
dad
was hair falling out in clumps and the media writing him, or people writing him horrible letters saying they hope Mantle broke the record and that he wasn't worthy.
Did he feel like a caged animal? Like McGwire? I love it. Everyone gave McGwire shit for saying,
We're not worthy!
So stupid.
Oh, and you know what? I totally forgot about that game where he got an obvious ball four. That was way low. Mark McGwire, boom, ball four. He goes to walk and they call it strike three. He scuffles with the umpire for a little bit. They toss him out in the very, very, very first inning. The Cardinals have a sold-out stadium, and they're not even in the playoff race. The whole purpose to going was to see Mark McGwire, and they went apeshit. They tossed all that stuff on the field.
Nice going, ump.
And how about that one dude, the guy who worked at the stadium who got that Roger Maris ball, the 61, or was that 62?
You know, I didn't get that far into it. I have to finish it, even though I don't know why.
The kid gave the ball back to McGuire for free. If he would have held on to it, that's $3 million, easy. Because that one comic book collector guy, he keeps buying baseballs for ridiculous sums of money.
Does that guy still feel good that he gave it to McGuire? I wonder.
I don't know.
Are you telling me McGuire doesn't have the ball anymore?
He should have the ball. I think that at least he did have that ball.
What if
the
McGuire sold it? I'd be so pissed.
The other guy had Sammy Sosa's 20th ball in the 1 month, which was a record breaker. He also had, I think he had ball number 70.
Yeah,
which was crushed by Barry Bonds 76.
I always wonder, can those balls hold their value?
No, there's a story today about how much that ball was worth.
I mean, at that moment, it seems like the value is insanity. And then a year later, people go, it's just another ball. I mean, and it's going to be broken anyway. I don't want to be stuck with that ball.
But McFarland's rich.
Mm-hmm. I mean, memorabilia is cool. Don't get me wrong. But it's just the prices are so high.
Here's the story. I was in the bathroom. Did you guys talk about what it's worth now? The $3 million 70th ball?
Oh, no. What is it worth now?
It's not even worth 500 according.
Oh!
500,000 according to top memorabilia auction houses.
I'm sure the guy says, "I don't want to sell it anyway."
Memorabilia.
Yeah, that's, but if you did, it's not worth shit.
Golden Auctions estimates it to be about 250,000. David Kohler says between 250 and 400,000. So yeah.
Memorabilia.
A-Rod's 500 and 600 home run balls are worth more, I guess. I
what?
Memorabilia.
That's stupid.
Bonds is
That's stupid.
So McFarland bought Bonds' number 73 for only 500,000. So, yeah, it went off a cliff.
Oh, my God.
You know, well,
memorabilia?
Well, ago. I mean, if you want to show off and spend $3 million for it, because I guess it does give you publicity if you're part of something, you'd be promoted. You probably get a lot of value out of it.
If it wasn't for that and Doug Podell, I would have no idea who Todd McFarlane is.
That was the comic book guy that buys all these. Didn't he create Spawn or something?
Spawn was his big
one.
But he made it. He made a lot of the character figurines for a long time. That's why Podell knew him.
Ooh.
I think he had a booth at Gibraltar.
Yeah, he did. He was always watching TV shows. He was always mad at him, too.
Worst half hour of television ever.
Okay, I want to talk about something because I think it's kind of funny and kind of it's a lot of things balled up into one. But how could it become political? Well, it just does because the Imagine Theater in Royal Oak is opening up for the Juneteenth Film Festival. And this is going to be all black actors, black directors, movies that fall in line with the celebration of Juneteenth.
Is it in 3D?
No.
Not interested.
That's certainly well-timed, right?
Yeah.
You know, with all that's going on. Okay. They're selling tickets for $10. I think you can go to all the movies, or as many as you want to go to.
That's nice.
$6.50 goes to the United Negro College Fund.
I'm trying to figure out why this is a problem.
And there will be two empty chairs because theaters aren't open.
Oh, that's the problem now?
Yeah, no, it's not a problem because they said they're doing it. They said they don't have the blessing of anyone, but they're going to do it anyway.
Who's
going to stop them? No one's going to stop them, so it can't be that dangerous.
That's pretty brilliant.
Clearly, racism trumps death.
That's pretty brilliant.
We're working for the eradication of racism trumps death.
Why doesn't Major League Baseball just make every day Negro League Day? Who's going to shut that down?
Nobody. But, you know, I dare Governor Whitmer to say they can't do this.
No.
She won't.
No.
You know she won't.
Pretty smart.
So it can't be that dangerous.
That's pretty smart.
So why don't the other theaters get to open? Why can't they open? They can't.
They should have thought of this first.
Well, if they're doing if they joined the Juneteenth festival, what if they said they were doing their Juneteenth week and then they showed regular movies? And they just dropped one in that was kind of, you know.
No one's going to check.
Well, we are playing the Rodney King documentary on Wednesday, and the rest of the week, it's all
ridiculous.
Marvel.
That's really there was some, there was nerdy.
George Floyd loved Marvel movies.
Maybe he did.
He probably did.
Who's going to be the asshole to check that out?
It's just so ridiculous.
Isn't there an issue with what's the Pete Davidson movie, The King of Staten Island?
Did it have to get yanked?
Yeah,
it wasn't supposed to be in theaters.
Because of COVID, right?
Yeah.
So what's the problem? The theaters are mad that it's out on...
The theaters are mad because it got pulled, and they're like, what are we going to show in its place?
But Judd Apatow can't show anything. It was always supposed to be video on demand only.
Yeah.
I'm so tired of all these
Like most
disputes.
Of America, I think I know the movie business.
Hey, and on the subject locally, since I was talking about Imagine Theater, I just want to mention that Mike Duggan says they're taking down the Columbus statue.
They're putting it in storage for a while.
Well, but you know what?
It's never coming back.
Just like the proactiveness of it. The fact that someone said, and he said this, he said, you know what? I saw these guys armed around the Columbus statue in Philadelphia, which I was talking about a couple days ago. Mm-hmm. And he said,
it's clear Duggan's listening to the podcast.
Clearly, Mike Clark would say that.
Well, maybe he is.
He should be.
He knows.
And he decided that, you know, that's trouble waiting to happen. You know, and it's not really anyone's fault. It's like trouble designed to happen. So he decided, we're not going to have that here. We're taking it down. We're putting it in storage. And I'm like, wow, somebody did something. They actually did something. Anything.
It's never coming out, though.
No, it's probably not. The Italian-Americans.
Hoorah! Hoorah! I love that the guy actually said, hoorah.
That guy was happy to get his lights back on.
Let's see. A couple other local things. Did you guys see the shooting on South Dixie Highway?
No.
Oh, boy. This is really weird. A guy was holding a knife, shouting at cars.
Oh, boy.
On South Dixie Highway. I think it's Monroe County. And so, naturally, multiple people call the police. The police come, and they're trying to talk to the guy. They're trying to do whatever they can, and the guy starts coming at a cop.
All right.
With the knife.
Yep.
Cop shot him.
Yep.
Dead. I think he's dead. Wait, is he dead? I don't know if he's dead, but there's a video of it.
Okay.
I watched the video, and honestly, and this is, you know, this is how things happen. Let me just go back a little bit.
MSP, State Police?
Yeah, I believe it was MSP.
Sounds like it's, because it's closer to Toledo. They seem to be covering it more. I'm watching the video right now.
I mean, it sucks. It's terrible. And honestly, you know what I was thinking is, well, the cop could have run away. That sounds ridiculous.
Well.
But I know, I'm just saying, if this is what's so interesting about this is, in my own mind, I remember going back when people were first talking about, damn those police chasing these criminals, and these criminals hit people, and it's the cop's fault. And for the longest time, I felt like, you know, that's bullshit. Why is it the police's fault? And why are we letting criminals? Why are we just going to let them go anywhere? And of course, what happens is we stop chasing people. And so we have these long, 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 long chases. Chases, just the car by itself going crazy with choppers over. And I think that's kind of dangerous, too, to be honest. But nonetheless, I don't think we've had as many horrific occurrences where someone being chased by the cops going 80 miles an hour hits some small child, which used to happen. So, hey, I'm on board. I'm like, okay, you know, if it works, it works. Be happy.
You watch this whole video with this guy getting shot?
What do you mean?
You watched it, though?
I watched him get shot, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the guy's clearly coming at him.
Oh, yeah, he is coming at him. But, let me just finish here. My feeling, and I think this is sort of the feeling, and a lot of people still feel this way, is that if someone does something in the course of being apprehended that puts the officer in any jeopardy, even remote, it was like, we don't want one police officer to die or be maimed by a criminal. And so therefore, they put them down when there's a threat, and they shoot to kill. And that's the way. And that's the way it is, as Walter Cronkite used to say. Well, that's evolved, though, because people go, you know, well, he didn't have to die. you know, just like the Rashard shooting, I think if this was 20 years ago, I don't know how much uproar there'd be about it. Rashard Brooks, do you think I'm right about that 20 years ago?
Well, I mean, 20 years ago, we wouldn't have, you know, all these camera shots of it. I mean, we are seeing everything.
Well, let's
now.
Just say that we could see it.
10 years ago? Probably not. Probably not.
It's certainly not anywhere near this, because we have completely evolved to the point that we say, well, nobody should die. But honestly, I think there was a time, and it was a while ago, but when we really, it's like once the person is not compliant, once the person is, you know, not going along with the system, we said the system has to be in control, and therefore if they're put down, that's part of, we're not letting anything happen to the police officers, and we will have total compliance and law and order. And now we seem to be morphing to, and you know, if that's the larger feeling, I always believe that the will of the people should be the will. It should be.
Yeah.
And today when I watched that, I said, well, that's not much better. I mean, in terms of the current scenario where we say, well, don't kill the guy. You know, the guy shouldn't die. And I'm still hearing more people saying, you know, Rashard Brooks was killed for sleeping in his car.
So yeah.
Don't say that. Why do you have to make it worse than it is? It's bad enough. Nobody likes it. Why make it worse?
Now that they released the body cam footage, and you said he was in the line and they had him move? Because I saw
they had him park his car. I mean, right near where he was.
Yeah.
He just pulled it over brief distance.
Why does it take 45 minutes to figure out you're going to... I mean, this is just aside from everything.
45 minutes.
Why does it take a full Jackson to run someone through the test and the breathalyzer?
Have you ever seen someone get a DUI?
Yeah.
It takes a while.
Okay. I mean, I just didn't...
I mean, I don't know.
I didn't know.
I'm not sure
I'm not
that
saying
really...
it's bad or it's wrong or... Yeah. I just was curious. Like, why does it take 45 minutes?
I don't know why it took so long.
45 minutes.
And that whole time, it's very cordial, too.
It's very cordial. It's cordial until they're going to cuff him for DUI. And then it's not cordial at all. But this one today... And by the way, is the victim black?
You know, it's funny. I didn't even... The video's not the greatest video,
because
it's from miles away.
Is there an uproar about it? I mean, are people talking about it?
This was the first I heard of it.
No, yeah, I haven't seen much.
Well, now there's a video, though, so I'm sure it'll be coming up. But, you know, I think here's how I feel about it.
It's so funny. We're so used to seeing body cam and people, like, 2 feet away filming it. This is from a security cam at the gas station. It's just really far.
Well, we'll have a better one. We will have a better one. And it's this video, there's not much to dispute about it. The guy is being told to stop. He will not stop.
Yeah.
He has a knife. The police received multiple calls about him. And if he won't stop, then, you know, this is so weird to think about. But I'm watching this going, well, the cop could have run away. But
well, he now, was. He was going backwards.
Yeah, he's walking backwards. He's trying to he's begging the guy to stop.
Yeah.
And begging him to drop the knife. And, you know, you'll hear the cops in the Rashard Brooks things. They're begging him to stop fighting. They're telling him, stop fighting, you know, on and on and on. And it seems to always work this way. But I was trying to think of, well, if in this video, if the only idea was to keep this guy alive, to absolutely not use lethal force, first of all, you could shoot him in the leg. And he wouldn't be coming forward anymore.
Well, with this one...
Or you could run away. And I was trying to imagine, like, the body cam footage of the police... Or from this gas station. Of a police officer, like, running wildly in circles, trying to get away from a guy with a knife because he doesn't... I mean, it's just... The whole thing is so... Goes absolutely against what we always knew. And that's why this is tricky.
If this Monroe County one was 10 years ago, and maybe even today, they'd be like, why don't you just tase the guy? Does the state police not have tasers?
I don't know.
Because he was a good distance away.
I don't know why I couldn't have tased him, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, this is what's weird. Like this morning, I'm watching GMA and some other stuff, the usual stuff, Today Show, CBS. And I'm watching these fracases.
I watched that. It's pretty amazing.
Between the police and protesters in New Mexico and protesters in Atlanta. And, of course, you know...
Well, there's a shooting in the New Mexico one, yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know. What happened in New Mexico?
Oh, they're trying to take down a statue.
And who got shot?
There was a shooting. I don't know if someone got shot, but a protester was shot. Oh, no, a protester was shot.
Oh, you didn't see my video of it?
What, were you there? You filmed it?
Well, I mean, I sent it in the press.
Moments before protesters were about to remove the statue with a chain, a struggle broke out in the crowd, and everybody started pointing at the guy who had a gun. Get his license plate. Get his license plate. Follow him.
Oh, it's not a cop.
No, no. They arrested Stephen Ray Baca. I guess he gets three names. 31, in conjunction with the shooting, charged with aggravated battery. He is part of the New Mexico Civil Guard, which is a militia.
Oh, great. That's the guy that shot.
All over a statue. Well, a statue of...
This is going to happen, though. Who's the statue of?
Juan de Onete.
Who is...
No idea.
Wait a second. Juan de Onete. What did Juan de Onete do wrong?
I don't know, but
what did he do right?
I have no idea.
Why does he have a statue?
No idea.
Can we look him up?
I'll look him
up. He's a Spanish conquistador, and he was an explorer. He was the colonial governor of the province of Santa Fe, de Nuevo Mexico, and he was the vice royalty of New Spain.
Okay, and he obviously did something horrible in his reign that is...
Well, he's a conquistador.
Well, then why is there a statue of him?
Because he I don't know. He's in charge.
You want to see this? Great you want to see the video of it?
Yeah, I do.
All right, check this out. So people are hitting him with a skateboard right now, and I think he's got a gun in his hand, and he's about to fire.
Man, I gotta tell you,
we already heard it.
This is pretty much the worst video ever made.
I was gonna say, Brandon, I feel that I know less about the incident rather than more after watching the video.
Well, the video stopped. I
mean, how many times?
Rarely is a video ballyhooed more than that.
He's so bummed. Look at him. He so wants to be out of that basement. How many times have we seen a protester brandishing a skateboard? I feel like I've seen at least seven videos.
Pretty amazing.
The one in Utah, the guy with his bow and arrow, the guy hit him with a skateboard. You've seen skateboarders in New York.
Breaking. See that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, is this the video again? Let's see if I can know less about it after I watch it the second time.
Well, it seems to be looping 2 seconds over and over and over.
Let's go, pull it, pull it.
Hot.
I don't know. How is no one going to get hurt here?
I don't know. I guess somewhere in there was a shot.
I don't know what we're yelling about.
Okay.
Statue, though.
Can I go back?
I like this one because they're bathing Apollo. This looks like Apollo. And the girls are bathing him.
Can I go back? I want to see the guy hit the guy with the gun with the skateboard again. I just want to see that little video.
This is KOB 4 Night Beat.
Oh, we get a commercial, too?
It's a leading KOB 4. Oh, they're not going to pull that statue down. There's like five people. Tear it down. There's a skateboard hit.
Yeah, well, replicas.
Yes. I think that hurt.
What is going on?
You know, watching that, yeah, I hear about these statues coming out all the time, and sometimes you see a little clip of it, but watching that one, that's dangerous as fuck.
Oh,
hey,
sure.
Move back!
Sure.
Is that really, is this a good idea?
There's a lot of anger out there, man.
Take the statues down this way? And I also... Because I just like to know, I would like to know what the people were thinking when they put the statue up. Because there must have been something about that person. And, you know, I use Malcolm X as an example. Malcolm X has a lot of things that people don't like. Mm-hmm. But they also like the fact that he was about, he wanted empowerment for black people. So I think that's the focus. And Tupac Shakur also did a lot of bad things. But... people wanted a statue of him because of some things that he did do. But and just, to say that someone who has a statue has to be beyond reproach, I mean, isn't this stuff considered when the statue goes up?
Well, just for context, though, like the Tupac one is at...
I don't care where it is. I'm just saying a statue. If someone puts up a statue, there's got to be a reason that that person was deemed statue worthy.
Well, the Tupac one was because it's at a center for the arts that's named after him that he paid money for.
Oh, I see. So he paid for his own statue.
Well, pretty much.
I'm not. I don't want to argue about where the statue is. I'm just saying matters, when someone puts a statue. Well, as far as tearing it down, it matters. But I'm just saying, if someone goes to the trouble and the expense is taken to put a statue up, there's got to be some reason that this person was deemed statue worthy. So,
fun fact: that statue of Juan de Oñate was had its foot cut off in 1998.
For what?
I guess they just there was a massacre that he was behind. I guess. Yeah, he's a conquistador. He probably killed a lot of...
He has a foot fetish.
Probably killed a lot of native people.
Then why did he get a statue?
Because he was the first governor of Mexico, like Brandon said.
Okay, so he did something that people appreciated at that time.
Sure.
I mean, all these people... And by the way, a lot of their histories are still debated. It's not entirely known exactly what they did. I mean, when you're talking about Columbus, for example, and I don't want to get in a debate. I do not want to get in the weeds about this. That was 1492.
Yeah.
14. So I would think in 1950 or 1960 or 1970, we know about as much as we can know about him. And to put up a statue, I think Italian-Americans are behind a lot of the Columbus statues. A lot of these things were probably debated.
Forget about it.
So for someone, you know, when I looked at the group tearing down this statue, by the way, I'm going, do those people really know more about this person than the people that put up the statue? I mean, do they know something they don't know?
Should they have
I mean,
to file a book report
on yes, it? They should.
Or take a pop quiz. Everyone has to stop and answer a 10-question pop quiz.
But more than anything, and I feel like a real old fogey saying this, it's dangerous as fuck.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy. That's not a good idea. And you see these crowds, and this crowd is bloodthirsty.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a really...
Well, I'd rather
crowd.
I'd rather they take it out on a statue than, you know, a person.
Well, I got to tell you, though, in some of these cases, it's so completely over the top. And I'm really, I don't even want to really get deeply into this, but these stories about people driving through crowds
mm-hmm.
are really... It's disturbing because it's like, no, that's not safe. That's insane. There's a guy in a white car, I think it was in Los Angeles, who clearly was trying to fuck with people. The other car they showed, I think, was actually just driving through an area and didn't know what the fuck was going on. And they wanted to get through and they were scared. And, people were kicking the car and breaking the window. And
yeah.
I mean, that would be fucking scary. And in the end, the people in the front of the car will not get out of the way, so they can sit there and get their car completely trashed and maybe set on fire and maybe get the shit beat out of them, or they can make it unpleasant for a couple people in front of the car, which is what they did. And honestly, I don't think anyone was really hurt from that particular car. It wasn't the white car, which was very aggressive. And yesterday...
Somebody keyed, like, every car, and his car got keyed, and now the guy doesn't take it out.
See? It's a real effect.
I think this car could have been keyed. So then,
you mean keyed?
There was all this discussion yesterday about, and this is on one of the networks, about these crazy people driving through crowds, and I didn't see anything, and I've seen barely anything on the three people who ran over cops. They ran them over. I mean, they were under the car, thump 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 thump, in Buffalo. In fact, I searched on it today, and you know what comes up when you search on police run over in Buffalo?
Mm.
The guy that was knocked over by the cops.
There's an update on him, by the way.
What's the story with him?
His lawyer spoke. He's got a fractured skull, which, once again, great job fracturing your skull, being a false flag, Antifa, you know, because he faked the whole thing, right?
What was he doing, by the way? Do we know what he was trying to do?
No, I haven't seen that yet. And he's got to have his phone, right? I mean, if he was recording it, wouldn't it be on his phone? Fractured skull, he still has not been able to stand up on his own.
Oh,
the guy's fucking 75.
Yeah.
And the only update that I've seen on the Buffalo SUV that crashed into the group of police officers was from basically 2 weeks ago. And the latest that I saw was that aerial images helped the cops apprehend that driver of the
SUV. But what
SUV.
Happened to the two cops? They're literally under this car that is driving over them, not trying to be in front of the car. I mean, these cops are not like crowding around a car, yelling threatening things. They're just doing their job, and this car comes whammo, comes flying along. The car did not brake. It clearly wanted to run them over. And yet the story's like whatever.
Yeah, I'm looking for an update on it now.
I can't find one that's telling you, 2 weeks.
There is not much. Nobody gives a fuck. They really don't. And you know what? There's a cop who was run over. They were trying to stop a van of looters, and they kind of parked crossways in front of it. The cop gets out, and they run him over on purpose immediately. I've never heard nothing about this guy. I've also heard nothing about the guy who was thrown in the air by the car. And I don't really hear many people going, have you seen this terrible piece of video? It's all about the white car in Los Angeles, and there's a couple others that are trying to drive through cars. And in addition to that, and this is TMZ, who to me are way over the top, they're going, oh my God, did you see what this policeman did? And there's, believe me, there's plenty of police doing things that they shouldn't be doing, and that's why this is so shitty and sucks ass, because I mean, when you have this many crowds and this many police and this much anger and this much rancor, I mean, there's going to be some things, and that doesn't mean they're right, but I mean, there's perfection is far from what I think the sort of skirmish leads to. Anyway, the cop car is trying to get through a street, and people are standing there not letting them through, and they're also, you know, if you hear the audio, it's like there's all this screaming, and it just, I don't know, it's just like, wow. I mean, it's just scary. I mean, they hate the cops. It doesn't matter what this car is doing. They fucking hate them, and they want them to know it. So the cop drives over this kind of curb to get on the grass to drive around them, and of course they get in front of the cop car. Yeah. So it's like, what are they supposed to do? So then, of course, when they slowly drive through, which someone falls who's trying to be in front sort of on the side, then it's like, oh, my God, can you believe what they did? I mean, it's just so
video pretty much
the fuck.
Yeah,
I know. But honestly, the narration of it was, and look at what this policeman did. They made this person fall down, and we don't know what their status is. I think they were okay, but they wouldn't get out of the fucking way. The cop car drove around them onto grass, and they just got in front of it again.
That's
so and the vitriol is, I mean, honestly, it's just scary. And when I was watching this morning in New Mexico and Atlanta, I was like, it's almost like the cops are this separate entity that we have no control over, and they're just out, you know, living by the old rules, and there's nothing anyone can do. There's just going to be more bad shit happens, and it's the most frustrating feeling. It's like,
you got it.
There's nothing we can do. It's like, this is hopeless.
Well, and no changes happened either. I mean, I know we got our executive order today, which, sure.
No chokeholds unless the cop's life is in danger, which is more gray.
Which is not only incredibly gray, but most major cities have already outlawed chokeholds. So
there's also a bad cop registry, and I'm like, why do we need a bad cop registry? I thought we have internal affairs, and we have all these things, and I don't know. Well, frustrated.
What I want to say about that is they have a bad cop registry because presumably they're public employees. Is every public employee going to have a complaint registry so we can see every complaint against them?
No.
Why not?
I don't know.
Is that the answer you want to hear?
No, it's not.
So, anyway, my new favorite politician, which is, I mean, that doesn't say much to say your favorite politician, but I saw Keisha Bottoms, who, every time she speaks, I have to admit, I sometimes feel better after I hear her talk than before I hear her talk,
Fun fact, you know, her dad was a musician, had a hit song. I can't think of the name of it. Did you know that or no?
No, I didn't know Keisha Bottoms had a...
You'll know the song.
What did she...
I think he worked with Curtis Mayfield.
I think he worked with Cuba Gooding's father on in The Main Ingredient, Everybody Plays the Fool. I'm kidding.
Major Lance.
Major Lance, that's right.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, you'll know the one song. I got to find it.
Well, anyway, I liked the way she put it the other day when she said he could shoot him, but he shouldn't have shot him. Because, yeah, within the rules, he could shoot him. But, no, he shouldn't have shot him. And we want that to stop. And so I don't know what the answer is, but fuck. Anyway, she was being interviewed this morning, and they said, "There's a place right across town." Is this an old man?
Yeah.
I felt better when I didn't know who he was. Yeah, I know this song. This is a hit.
Yeah, he had two hits. That one and this one. You know this one, too.
And what's his name again?
Major Lance.
Major Lance. What year?
Walking through the park. It wasn't quite dark. It's a good one to sing along to.
So, enough of Major Lance.
What?
I know, I'm not a fan.
This was number 5 on the charts.
Really?
1964.
Okay. Good for him. Keisha Bottoms today was asked, are you going to wait till the federal mandate comes down before you decide on new regulations for police? And she said, no, because we can't wait another hour. And that's exactly how I feel, is what are we waiting for? Fucking do something. Change something. Try something new.
Yep.
I mean, it's not
I'm waiting and I'm waiting and I'm waiting.
I hate how we act like these things are so complicated. Oh, how could we ever figure out how to kill less people? Because well, today I can tell you that cop could have shot him in the leg. Yeah. And he'd be alive. Or he could have run away. That sounds so ridiculous. But
there's too many people that need to be reelected. So they got to make sure their bases are covered before they pass any laws.
And the police union might even invest in a certain candidate, the law and order candidate, because they want to have all the freedom to do what they see just. And you know, on and on and on. Yeah, it is. It's a big clusterfuck. So I really appreciated what she said, because I feel like we can't wait another hour. We should do something. And these cops,
people want? They just want something.
No, I don't mean something just to do something. I mean something that would help. Yeah. And I don't think it's that hard. I do think the cop's job is hard. I think it's very hard. But if we're willing to say, you know, because you can do this, and we do this all the time. You can say, hey, that guy that shot the cop with the taser, he could have tased him, incapacitated him. He could have taken his gun. Mm-hmm. And so I would have shot him, or I think they should have shot him. Mm-hmm. But I think what we're saying is that we want cops to take a little more risk in terms of their own safety and determining what is lethal force. I mean, that's what I think we're saying. We're saying that
to assess the situation a little.
Yeah, that you know, because I think truly, and I don't think a lot of people understand this, cops make a lot of split second decisions.
Sure.
They're trained to handle those decisions, and I think a lot of times that it is that, hey, if you perceive a threat, eliminate the threat. Don't shoot him in the leg. Don't shoot him in the arm. Hit him in the heart. Hit him in the head. Whatever. And we're saying that. No, we're not quite, we don't want it to be quite that far. But meanwhile, the cops are out there with those old standards, and people are screaming about the old standards sucking, but no, they're blaming the cops.
Yeah.
And in the case of George Floyd, what was unique and uncontrovertibly true about that was that it was bullshit, and he shouldn't have died, and they didn't give a shit about him. And, you know, you got people yelling to cut it out. You got all those horrible things. And that, on top of all the other ones, just made it so much worse and made it seem prescient. Like, fuck it. Let's do something now, goddammit. If you don't do something, and the protests have been going on for 3 weeks and nothing. You know, Pelosi said, by the way, Trump's speech today was weak. And I just felt like, oh, have you done anything?
Yeah,
I mean,
no, she hasn't.
We can bitch about anything anybody does, but do something. What? How much effort has really gone into fixing this? I feel like it's damn near nothing. Anyway, I appreciated what Keisha Bottoms said, and she also expressed her frustration, and I'm sure she is frustrated. And about the this is kind of interesting to me. The previous police chief, and I think Gail was interviewing her, Gail King.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the one that was that just quit.
And Gail seemed kind of hurt that, not hurt, but Gail said, you know, the previous chief, who was LGBTQ, the first LGBTQ chief of police in a large city, which is a big deal. There's a lot of pride in the gay community for this woman. And so Gail was sort of leaning on her like, well, gee, did you have to blow her out? And what she said, and I really hear it answered this eloquently. She said she's wonderful. She's, you know, she marched with the protesters. She was a real plus. But
there has to be something else.
Sometimes you have to pass the baton to someone in the desire to get where you want to get. And
so
I thought,
is she just the fall guy?
Yeah, she's the fall. I think that's what Mayor of Atlanta was saying, was that, you know, I had to do something symbolic to point out that this is big. This, we need change now. We can't wait. And even though she's wonderful, yeah, she's kind of a patsy in this whole thing. And I understood that. And I usually hate that when people are symbolically fired. But in this case, I think maybe it was a good idea. It didn't help Wendy's not get burned down. But I really like this Keisha Bottoms. I mean, she'll probably say something tomorrow that'll infuriate me. But
future vice presidential candidate.
Is she a vice presidential candidate?
She's on the short list.
Keisha Bottoms is?
Yeah, the mayor of Atlanta. Hmm?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
There's someone in Florida who's a... Who's the black person in Florida who's a big candidate now? It just came out of nowhere.
It's got to be a woman.
I think it is.
I always thought it was going to be Susan Rice now. Because that name popped up a lot.
Who's Susan Rice?
She was an NSA advisor for Obama, and she was talking about her running for someone for something in Maine for a while.
She got in trouble with Hillary about stuff, and it's just that's probably not the best pick.
You don't want to be aligned with the Clintons.
She was aligned with. She got in trouble for spilling information to Hillary Clinton in an airport. Don't you remember that?
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, so. Yeah. Wait, was that when Bill was talking to the Attorney General?
Oh, I don't remember. I just know that everybody was up in arms about it and screaming collusion.
Let me take care of something and get the boner line ready because...
I did want to mention a couple things about Atlanta, too, that I think you wanted to mention earlier that you didn't. Did you mention Rashad Brooks' family in GoFundMe, that story? Is that where you were going with that earlier?
Yes, it was, because the family had to call GoFundMe to say, hey, these GoFundMe... Apparently somebody in the family is watching the GoFundMe. I'm just kidding.
No, I know, but it's sad that they would have to.
They saw, well, that may not be exactly why they're watching, but they, and I'm just kidding, okay? They saw about 19 GoFundMes for the Brooks family.
Yeah.
And they knew immediately that some of them were fraudulent. And I think some of them are not just knowingly fraudulent. They're as in like, hey, no, that's absolute bullshit. We don't want that one. We don't want that one. We don't want that one. This is the one that we approved, and I think they even talked to the person who put it together. And so GoFundMe is now returning money to these people in the GoFundMes that the Brooks family does not approve of.
Yeah.
But what a fucking mess. And what, you know...
Now, the other question I had is, you know, there's two officers, and one was fired immediately. Six-year veteran of the force. The other guy is just on, I guess, desk duty. So it was always like, how did he get fired so quick? Why did he get fired so quick? It's been revealed today that he's had 12 misconduct reports over the last 6 years, including one that seemed pretty credible with excessive use of force. I think that was enough reasoning to
Why did they tell us that?
I know. Well, it's the lack of communication. Maybe they weren't allowed to.
Why did they fire him for that one?
I don't know.
I've heard, and I've spoken with some police officers who tell me that they've been written up for those misconduct reports pretty frequently. And the reason being is they arrest somebody, that person's very angry, and so that person tells them, I want your badge. So they'll make a complaint either way.
So it's
going to go on your record in some way, shape, or form.
So we talked about that. So he had 11 incidents that were reviewed before he was fired, three which resulted in disciplinary action before. So I guess by that, you know, eight of them are bullshit, but three they thought were pretty legit.
Yeah, I've had a flood of comments from people in the police world, or a couple from policemen's wives, one from a policeman's husband. I mean, all that whole world of people who know how hard that job is and how heartbreaking this whole thing is for everyone, not just the people who watch this and say, oh, my God, but police fucking hate it. It's terrible. I mean, people, before this ever happened, people were getting kicked, police were getting kicked out of Starbucks because they're in the line of vision of someone who's triggered by police. I mean, look at all these crazy things that have been going on. And now it's worse. The restaurant that won't allow police to eat there.
Oh, yeah. And now you have the whole Shake Shack incident, which...
Yeah, three officers thought they tasted bleach in their milkshakes.
So what's interesting about that, though, is the police union of New York City put that out. And so the police department then investigated it and said, no.
Well, they don't hold Shake Shack. They have not...
Yeah.
Charged Shake Shack or anyone at Shake Shack with anything.
They said it wasn't deliberate.
But the three police were hospitalized. That was not...
I know.
Something did happen to them. Now, the other thing about it is no one else at Shake Shack got sick.
Yeah. So did someone do it afterwards?
I don't know.
Where'd they take those shakes? And then all I could think of is, I kind of want a Shake Shack shake.
I know. It made me think a vanilla milkshake would be so good. But then I was imagining, like, drinking bleach, like, drinking the taste of bleach in something. I don't think they drank the whole shakes. I think they all thought something was weird.
Isn't that what Trump wants us to do?
And they got sick.
So we don't get coronavirus?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Jesus Christ.
What a drag. What a mess.
Well, I got some good stuff coming up here.
Okay, that's what I've been trying to get to, is the if you're a man facing... divorce or custody issues, call Adam. For nearly 30 years, Adam has been helping men like you protect your rights and get the fair treatment in the court system that you deserve. Don't take a chance with your future. Go with the best. Adam has knowledgeable, aggressive, experienced attorneys that you want. And, you know, as always, you know, nobody wants anyone to need Adam, but people do. So they're there for you. Call Adam at 248-356-2326, and that's all they ask. Give them a chance if you're in this position. 248-356, Adam. And then, of course, the Boner Line, we're all excited about the Boner Line, is brought to you by Manscaped. Manscaped.com, promo code Drew. Boy, we get some great reviews on Manscaped, too. People like this, this
product,
amazing trimmer, the Lawnmower 3.0. And they love the LED light that illuminates grooming areas for a closer, more precise trimming. And they love the charging stand. Show your mower off loud and proud. This intelligently designed stand is a convenient charging dock powered by USB. So many of you have written stories about how the Lawnmower 3.0 has changed their lives. I think they're having improved sex lives. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code Drew at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code Drew at manscaped.com. The Boner Line number, if you want to call, is 209-66-BONER. That's 206-209-66-BONER. So call, leave your message, and Brandon sometimes will set the alarm for 2:30 in the morning so he can get up and get a boner line done. It's crazy.
Hey.
What up?
Hey, Drew. Sorry about Layla. She looked like a real sweet dog.
I will remember you.
So sorry for your loss, Layla. Mags and everything that's happened.
Mags and Layla.
Really sorry to hear about Layla.
A beautiful dog.
God, I'm so sorry to Drew. I know he probably doesn't listen to these, but...
A talented dog.
Drew, sorry to hear about Layla.
It's pretty much my favorite animal.
My condolences to Drew and to Tess. I always liked Layla's bark in the background of the show, followed by either a gentle scolding or you asking her what was wrong. It was very sweet.
Really sorry to hear about Layla. Like an awesome dog.
Canine, as they call.
My heart goes out to you, man. You gave a couple dogs really great homes.
I call it a dog.
Where's the Layla and Mags memorial merch? Because it will move. I need a sticker. I need a hoodie. I need a t-shirt.
Do it. Get it done. Hey, Drew. You know, I heard about Bella.
Who's that broad?
And I just want to give my condolences to you. It's so sad. I'm sorry, buddy.
I'm sorry.
I know you lost Mags earlier, and now Bella.
Who the hell is that?
That's tough, man.
Bella.
It's not fair.
Not fair. Not right.
Hey, guys. I just had a good audio separated at birth for you. Thinking the guy or the lady who says, shit, let me call back.
You
Oh, hi, everyone. I am calling.
That was great.
Because I'm listening to coming to June 10th.
Dead air. Oh, boy.
What am I doing?
Oh.
She's a total failure.
Oh. Yeah, I was calling you.
No, come here.
Wow.
Very well spoken and on point.
Yeah.
Shit. I forgot what I was talking about. I gotta call you back. Oh, what the fuck?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
My name is Mark.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Cool. Originally from the Windsor area, currently live in Fort Lauderdale. I briefly went to high school with Billy Tamai.
Who's that dude?
A.K.A. Sami.
Whatever.
And I just spent about the past half hour going through my my yearbook here. And apparently he was stricken from the books.
What?
I didn't know that.
Even though I knew very much well from my interactions with him and the people at the high school that he was very much there.
It's almost like he's two steps ahead of everybody.
I love the fact that every time when Brandon gets food, Trudy gets so bummed.
Hey, girl, you hungry?
You guys were talking about Nickelback. We were at a show in 2006, and they put on a phenomenal show.
Wrong.
When they played Photograph, there was this tool in front of us, probably mid-30s, crying to that fucking stupid song.
Crying?
If you like the Beatles, you will love this band called Nickelback.
On Wednesday's show, Mark and Drew declared Blake Lively horrible, and I hope that's a mistake because, you know, Blake Lively is gorgeous, and it would, you know, it would suck if she was a beast.
No, I want you two to kiss each other.
Career separated at birth. Meghan Markle having Harry solicit jobs from Disney, and Phil Hartman's wife having him solicit jobs and acting for her.
Remind me to get a divorce.
I was just watching some YouTube.
That's really
here.
Good.
Guess what they're chanting in Chicago City Hall? You go lose your job. If you guys get a chance, find that clip. It's pretty funny. The incel that blew off his hands. How fucking awesome is that? He tries to blow those girls up that won't fuck him, and then he blows his hands off.
That didn't work out well, didn't it?
The last chance he has to get laid.
After all, the you know the palm is the vagina of the hand.
That didn't work out well at all, did it?
Good job on the borderline again.
Thank you.
Keep it stiff.
Keep it stiff.
Keep it stiff.
Sayonara, butt face.
Oh, that's great.
And that's it for today, but I also, because they're all stacking up, I think that the Drew and Mike show has an obligation to the listeners to be able to tell you during quarantine, during these trying times, what cameos are available for you right now, because there are brand new celebrities. They're everything from athletes to actors to musicians who are coming out, and they're saying, hey, I will give you a cameo message. I'm not going to play them all, but I have 15 for you today. 15
starting new cameos
from the cheapest.
Right. Okay.
All the way to the most expensive, which basically means as they go up, they will be more famous than the person before them. Here's the first one. You'll know her.
Oh.
Everybody's TMZ friend.
Hi guys.
Hi.
Happy Monday.
Thank you,
I just want to let you know that I'm on Cameo, so tell your friends.
I will.
Charlie's Neff.
Cuter. Why isn't she cute? As cute on TMZ as she is right there?
Because she's working. That's her doing her personality, you know.
When you showed her Instagram, she's adorable.
She's great. She's a cutie.
Nope. She's $25, so extremely affordable, too. And so our very next celebrity.
What, are you selling these, Brandon?
Yes. Is Michael Ian Black. He is a comedian. Yeah. I've seen him a million places. He's $75.
He's a member of the state. He's been in a bunch of stuff. He's also very active on Twitter and very, very left.
Why? Also $75.
Okay.
Ruben Studdard, American Idol Season 2 winner, probably the last winner that I can name.
Do you think he has all those, what was the area code he was from? Remember he
used to work wasn't it in Alabama?
305, would that have been it?
That's Miami.
Oh.
But he looks 205? Like he's in better shape.
Maybe. Let's hear one from Studdard. Let's see how much effort he puts in.
People are buying these?
What's up, O'Kiwi? It's your boy, Ruben Studdard. Your longtime friend from college, Nick, wanted me to send you a shout-out for your 40th birthday. So I had to make sure I got on here and said,
is Nick a big Ruben Studdard fan, do you think?
You're a big fan of my maybe it's a joke.
So I wanted to give myself the best 40th birthday present ever.
You're the oh, he's singing great. Is Aiken on there?
Probably. Joy. I don't know. I don't think so. Is he?
I think we might
this
have hit
this is pretty much the worst video maybe. Ever
I'll,
made.
I'll take a look. But Ruben is $75. So going up the celebrity ladder, the next more famous person is Tom Glavine, the MLB pitcher for the Braves.
Yeah.
Two-time Cy Young.
Hall of Famer.
Why would he be on Cameo?
He's bored.
$100. Yeah, he's, boy, it looks like he's doing it from his mansion, his lakeside mansion, too.
It's very intense.
Hey, Chris. Tom Glavine here. Hey, you got...
Yeah, so he's $100. That's worth it, if you ask me. Leah Thompson, remember her? Where'd she been?
Oh, from Leah Thompson. Back to the Future.
Yeah, Leah Thompson, who's now more famous than the other Leah.
$100.
She is $100, yeah.
Oh, she still looks cute.
Yeah, she's really pretty. She still looks cute. Let's hear Leah Thompson's.
I hit the button.
Hi, guys.
Leah Thompson, I mean, some of these, they could probably use the money.
Hi, guys.
I thought Cameo would be just flying high with people unable to
Leah
work.
Leah Thompson from...
That's nice for to get up.
Sorry about that. I'm getting a little lag here, but she starts this one off very strong.
Hi, Dick. Leah Thompson from... Mostly from Back to the Future. Or Carolina
mostly.
City. And I am here to wish you a happy Father's Day from your beautiful children, Tim, Celeste, Declan, and Lainey.
How does she still look so damn good?
I don't know.
Does look great. $100, not bad for Leah Thompson. Let's go up the celebrity ladder. The next more famous person than Leah Thompson, Danny Trejo.
Wait,
dude,
Danny Trejo?
Well, you see him everywhere.
Wait, which
Machete?
What's he in?
Machete.
Con Air. Machete.
Snickers commercial. Every commercial.
Okay. I had him confused with the guy that that Merv Griffin assaulted sexually.
Oh, Danny.
Danny.
What the fuck is his name?
The Star... No, not Star Search. The dance show.
God. Yeah.
Danny. Go ahead, Brandon. I'll look it up.
God damn
okay. $100 for Danny Trejo. But more important and way more famous than Danny Trejo, Dave Hansen. One of the Hansen brothers from Slapshot. Remember that movie?
Mike Clark would be so amused by this.
Yeah. Well, wouldn't he be mad? Because
he'd be kind of mad.
Dave Hansen is $116, and it actually looks like his cameos might be fun because he's dressed up in the Slapshot garb, and he's got tinfoil wrapped around his knuckles and stuff. And
so. Danny Terrio.
Hey, Jack. Charlestown Chiefs, number 16, foil. Old time hockey. Hey.
Yeah, he's, I don't know. They love him in Canada. So $116 for Dave Hansen. Next, and even more famous than Dave Hansen is Bo Derek.
Ooh. Oh, she must need the dough. Gotta need the dough.
She looks
right?
Great.
Yeah.
She would not
hey,
do
Peter,
this if she need the dough.
Bo Derek here. Ooh. Yes. This I got a booty. A so, I was your idea of heaven. When
well, that means he beat off. That's weird. She's talking to someone that beat off to her all the time.
I know.
Jeez, I got a little chub.
I bet she wants
to
know.
I really haven't seen her since Tommy Boy, really.
We didn't hear the whole thing, but she was going to say, would you still beat off to me looking at me now? I think I still look pretty good.
I know this is only $150, but if you're here for $50, I'll do something extra.
Oh, wait. Bo Derek is $150, and the next celebrity is... Charlemagne the God, who's more famous than everybody we've talked about so far.
I gotta tell you, that dude is on fire right now. He could get way more than $150.
Yeah, I wonder why he's doing this. Is he just cashing in while he can?
Maybe he could get way more than $150. He's an interesting guy. I think he's pretty legit.
He gets so many guests too right now.
I don't know much about.
The show's huge, man.
The only time I hear the show is when he has a guest on. They're always big guests, but it sounds like a really serious show. Is it a funny show too?
I think it's supposed to be. Yeah.
See, I've never been exposed to that part of it.
I usually just see him do interviews.
Yeah, they had, you know who they had on for a long time? And I watched it. Tekashi.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Oh, my God. I already hated him. And much like a politician, after Tekashi's talking, I feel worse than before he's talking. Every time. He's such an asshole. And Tekashi, the main thing that was annoying about Tekashi that is even more annoying now, this is before he went to prison. And he was claiming that he is the greatest artist alive, that he is the king of New York, blah, blah, blah. I'm the king of this, the king of that. And they were really, they were not really agreeing with him. But he really thinks he is something special.
So we only have six left, which means we must have some monster celebrities coming up. The next one is $179, and it's Bernie Kosar.
Oh, he might do one a year for $179.
He's done quite a few already.
What really? About
his daughter? Bernie Kosar? Hi, Neil. Bernie Kosar here. Happy Father's Day to you from myself and from Scott and Jackie. I heard you're one of the biggest Cleveland Browns fans and Bernie Kosar fans from Youngstown, Ohio. Even had a mural of me in your house.
What about his daughter? You think he'd talk about his daughter?
A mural. Who would have a... Why would anyone have a mural of Bernie Kosar?
The same person would buy a cameo.
Then I would say their decor is terribly outdated. If I went in someone's house and there was a mural of Bernie Kosar.
I just want to point out the daughter references that his daughter once did a porn.
Oh, that's true.
Just pointing that out.
Yeah, and Bernie had a problem with
Hey, Ray,
drinking.
Sugar Ray Leonard here. And do they call you Sugar too? We'll talk about that later.
Sugar Ray Leonard, $200.
Wow. Okay, he must need the cash.
No, Sugar Ray Leonard. No. Those boxing
I wouldn't think
guys,
he would.
I'm billions.
Let me look up his celebrity net worth.
He claims that all of the proceeds from his cameos will go to the foundation to support diabetes.
So it's a write-off.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Sugar Ray Leonard. I need a write-off. Why don't you give me some money and I'll do a cameo for you? Thank you.
$200 for Sugar Ray. Next up, Chevy Chase.
Oh, God.
Oh, brother.
He has none.
He hasn't done any yet, but he's $250.
What? Get out of here.
Yep.
What, he thinks he's just coming off Weekend Update?
$250 for Chevy. Three more. Elvira.
Oh, boy.
She's $299. I haven't seen Elvira much lately. I just know that she got split open by that Listerine dong belonging to Tom Jones, right?
Yep. Yeah. Yes, she did.
Oh, yeah.
She's $299 for her. Next up, Billy D. Williams, 300 bones. It looks like he does his in his canopy in his monster backyard.
Hi, Ken.
Wow, in his pajamas, too.
What an amazing family you have, and how incredible that you've been to all of the opening nights of the Star Wars movies.
Magic.
I'll be fine.
That's incredible.
I was writing because you were big ale stairs.
So what gender is he in that one? Because didn't he come out as gender fluid?
Oh,
something?
That's right.
Yeah.
Billy D is 300. And today's headliner, the biggest person on Cameo for the day, the biggest celebrity is Leanne Rimes.
Really?
Hey, Jason. It's Leanne Rimes.
Hey.
Happy birthday.
Oh, knock it off.
Happy birthday, my love. Happy 50th. I bet you're wondering how you're going to live
no one is.
Without your 40s.
No, no one's ever wondered that.
I heard you love Quiet. That song.
Without your 40s?
You know what it is? What? You're going to do it with gusto.
What are you talking
about? You're going to do it
Quiet.
With bravado and fabulousness. And
blah, blah, blah. So Leanne Rimes, the big country superstar in 1998, she is $333. And that wraps up Cameo for the day.
Antonio Brown is still unavailable to do anything new.
Brandon, could you stop selling Cameo? I don't really need you to point out what a great value these are. Is Cameo paying you per Cameo of the people you mention?
Well, it's funny you say that because Cameo does have a brand new feature. It's not just messages that come through, you know, recorded messages. Now you can buy a Zoom call, a 10-minute Zoom call where you actually get to interact and talk with them.
Oh, no.
And there's several... Excuse me. There's of these
trajectory
celebrities
towards microphone.
A couple hundred dollars.
I know. I wanted to barf when I read this. I don't know why this. It should bother me. Why should I care if someone wants to spend $15,000 for a 10-minute call to what's his name from
Jeremy Piven?
Jeremy Piven.
$15,000 for a 10-minute call.
That's so. In an hour, he could make $90,000.
What if you become best friends with him and the call goes longer? There's always the chance that you guys can become best friends. It's pretty cool. And if it's a woman, maybe you guys fall in love in that 10 minutes.
Okay, who in that
what
list?
What if you buy one from a celebrity and you're just sitting there nude? Right? Can you see that happening? Like, what if Bo Derek does it and that guy's beating off to her for 10 minutes?
Well, it depends on how much she wants the money.
Could you imagine Bo Derek just doing it for 10 minutes while some guy's beating off? And then
63 years old, though, Bo Derek looks... She's a dime.
And then that guy blows a load, and they just talk awkwardly for the next 9.5 minutes.
Billy Williams. Okay, I'm looking up celebrity net worths as we go along here. The person who would need the cameos the most is clearly Bernie Kosar.
Really?
Yes, let Earth. Celebrity net worth is below $100,000.
What?
$100,000 or below.
Where'd all his money go?
He's had some bad investments. Who else is on the list, Brandon, starting at Charlie?
Okay, so it went Charlie, then it went Michael Ian Black.
Right.
Bernie should get his daughter into porn.
Get all his daughters into porn.
Sorry.
Who else?
Ruben Studdard.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, he's broke.
Ruben. Who else?
Ruben. Let's see. Up next would be Tom Glavine. He doesn't need any money.
I don't think so.
Leah Thompson.
Yeah, I wouldn't think.
She's got to have money, right? What was that? Caroline in the... No, what was that show she did forever?
She's done a lot of stuff.
She had a sitcom on NBC that was very successful for some reason for years. Was it Caroline in the City? Was that her?
No one knows.
Yeah, you're right.
Those
Caroline
all go right through me.
I know. It was
Leah Thompson. Celebrity.
Leah Thompson played cartoonist Caroline Duffy.
Oh, dumb.
It's funny how all these shows can just go right through me. It's like they're all one show.
Yeah. That's what was that one with Brooke Shields that was around the same time? That's basically the same show.
It was on after Cosby though, so yeah. It killed, right?
Just like Caroline in the City.
You know what I remember? This is so weird. When I was looking at those pictures of Matt Perry walking around looking really just not healthy.
Yeah.
Really
like
titty.
Matt Perry.
You remember the show he did like 5 years ago? I can't remember the name of it. It was an interesting show, actually. And he looked pretty good.
Matthew Perry?
Yeah, he looked okay. I mean,
the last thing I saw him in was in that Zac Efron movie.
He had a series, briefly.
Do you remember what it was on?
Okay, the last movie he was in was in
2009.
It was a TV series.
No, it was a TV series. He had a TV series like 5 years ago.
The Kennedys. After like Camelot, what you see, huh? The Good Fight. The Odd Couple?
I don't know if that was it.
Sounds like a great one, though, man. Huge hit.
I think it would be The Odd Couple.
You sure?
That was for a couple years starring Matthew Perry. And
who wrote West Wing?
Aaron Sorkin?
Didn't Aaron Sorkin do a show that Matt Perry was in?
Oh, yeah, Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip.
Yes, thank you.
Which ended up bombing. But you're right. He was a regular on that. That was
13
years ago.
That was 13 years ago? What?
Yeah.
Did I fast forward to get to something?
Apparently.
Jesus Christ. That's not possible.
He's in something called Mr. Sunshine.
Sonny, those were crazy times.
That was on ABC. I don't know if you remember that. That was since then, and he was okay then, so I don't know what's happened to him, man.
Good God.
He just likes milkshakes.
Wow. That's weird. Hey, so Roger Goodell is encouraging teams to sign Colin Kaepernick.
Is he going
to
pay for it?
What was he doing before? Was he discouraging teams from signing Colin Kaepernick?
Yeah, of course he was.
I mean, it seems to me you can't say you're encouraging teams to sign him if you weren't, if you were discouraging them beforehand, because it even suggests that you were.
You got to believe his lawyers know that, although they settled that suit, so. Didn't they settle the collusion suit?
Yeah.
Yeah,
so. Yeah, they paid him a lot of money.
Uh-huh.
Colin Kaepernick, it just seems to always get the best of everything.
So is the NFL going to, like, foot half his salary if he signs somewhere?
Well, it sounds like Roger Goodell's going to hire him to work for the league if he doesn't sign.
Oh, with Jay-Z? Because that was a huge
success. Yeah, with Jay-Z.
Signing Jay-Z did so much.
I know.
For both Jay-Z and the NFL. By so much, I mean exactly the opposite of what they wanted to happen.
This is interesting. I think it's a matter of, like, drawing straws almost as to who has to sign Colin Kaepernick. I don't think anybody wants to deal with him. I don't, you know,
well, maybe
you can put these protests and throw them in the mix and say, you know, hey, we're looking at this a little differently, but Colin Kaepernick is still, it seems to me, a very high maintenance person.
Maybe that's why he came out and said this, to kind of, you know, the one thing.
So people just don't sign him and he can act like he tried to get him signed?
Well, that's probably part of it. But the other aspect could be, you know, look, the NFL wants him back and we're trying to bring him back in the fold. So kind of maybe, because one thing Roger Goodell does really well is provide cover for all the owners.
Yeah,
you know, he's the enemy in the whole league. So maybe this is providing a little bit of cover for whoever signs him, I guess. There was there was a poll about him, too, and the attitudes towards him.
Roger Goodell?
No, towards Colin Kaepernick.
Oh, okay.
And how much more supportive people are now of that.
I feel the same way about him I did before. I don't, you know, I never thought that he could not protest. I didn't like when they said that people who didn't like his protest were racist. And I didn't like people that said that that what he was doing, I mean, basically, I felt like he should have just done it, and it should not have been a giant deal. If you didn't like it, you cannot like it.
So here it is, and this is tied into that last poll that Yahoo did with the who do you trust kind of thing. So Colin Kaepernick, asked in 2016, just 28% of Americans considered Kaepernick's conduct, quote, appropriate. Then asked in 2018, 35% said his actions were appropriate, so it was up 7%. Now, for the first time, a majority of Americans, 52%, agree that it is okay for NFL players to kneel during the national anthem to protest police killings of African Americans, end quote. While 36% say it's not. I mean, that's a pretty significant move for 4 years.
Yeah.
Attitudes are changing.
Yeah, I think they're changing. It's very complicated. The people who don't feel that way, you're never going to hear from them. They're not going to say anything. Kind of like people voting for Trump.
Well, I know, but I mean, I'm just talking about these poll numbers have changed.
Yeah, but I think there's only one discussion of Colin Kaepernick, and that is that Colin Kaepernick is good and that he was, he was in favor of trying to help the situation, police and African Americans. But at the time, I think a lot of people just, almost like a reflex, they just said, I hate it or I don't like it.
Sure. I mean,
and I don't think people are going to do that nearly as quickly, if at all. I think it's one of those things where people may quietly not like him or not like what he stands for. And the people that do like him will proudly say they like him. That doesn't mean that the opinions of him have not improved.
Sure.
It's not that I dislike him for kneeling. It's not where I would have preferred him to protest. And I guess I'm allowed to think that. I don't know. I think a lot of people felt that way. It's not that it wasn't a good cause, or it's not a worthy cause, or it's, you know, unbelievable to think that someone would need to do that. I just didn't like it with football or before the football game. And I think a lot of people probably still feel that way. How would the league? I honestly don't know how people react when that happens this year, because it's going to happen.
Well, there's not going to be any fans in the stands. It's not going to happen.
Oh, that's
this year.
Right.
They're not going to fucking play.
I think the NFL will play.
You think
so? I do. Yeah, I do. I think first of all, there's so much love for football.
Sure. Yeah.
And if anyone can play in an empty stadium and people watch it like mofos on TV, it's football.
Yeah, but
I mean, there's
also
such a demand for it.
It's also a 53-man roster and a pretty big staff. Now you're talking more people.
Well, you're going to have to keep anyone compromised. Will have to be kept out of the way.
Look, if the NBA can't pull it off with a much smaller
team and
staff.
Why can't the NBA do it? I still don't understand that.
Well, now,
if anyone can do it, the NBA ought to be able to do it easily.
I feel like Kyrie Irving really put a stick into that spoke there.
And I think that's completely stupid.
I didn't know, and I should follow up and see.
I don't want to destroy the social justice. People love the NBA so much, they won't think of anything else if we play.
I thought I heard that Kyrie Irving is injured anyway, so he wasn't going
to
play.
Oh, so he doesn't want anyone else to play.
Yeah, but you got like Dwight Howard coming out, and Eli made a pretty good point the other day when you were talking about this on No Filter Sports Podcast, which is available with a brand new interview from Rod Carew. He had said that Dwight Howard wouldn't even have any kind of following if it wasn't for NBA, if it wasn't for the basketball.
Dwight Howard?
What do you mean? Can you restate that again? I'm sorry. Say that again.
So Kyrie Irving has come out.
Yeah.
And he does not want another NBA season because of the protest.
Thanks for the podcast.
Kyrie Irving isn't going to play.
Yeah.
But Dwight Howard is going to play, or supposed to play. Dwight Howard is an NBA basketball player. He's been in the league for a few years.
You know he is. Seen
from NBA dunk contests and stuff like that.
He's selling it. Like we were just born or something.
And what I was saying is Eli Zarrett had the point. Dwight Howard is nobody without the NBA. You take the NBA away, you take not playing the game, and no one knows who he is. So why would you get on his side for any type of social justice awareness or any type of following without basketball? So if he's not going to play, I don't know.
Yeah, but
I
we know who he is now.
I got to take this up with Eli. I think it's a terrible point.
That's not what he's talking about. Not a very good
Thanks
point.
For telling me, though. So
yeah.
Talk to him. That's
ridiculous. Not the best point. I'm going to listen to No Filter Sports, a new episode.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I am, just because I want to hear him make
that. Eli thinks his audience is so stupid. Jesus.
Kyrie Irving's new idea, by the way, is to have NBA players start their own league. I said that. I thought it was very similar. Was it Tom Hamilton? Who was it from Aerosmith?
The drummer, Joey Kramer?
Yeah, didn't get
his fair part of the receipts?
Does Kyrie Irving know that you have to, like, have an arena and employees?
I don't think so.
It's crazy.
You know, I wish somebody would do that because it would be really, first of all, it's so eye-opening. Because they go, oh, shit, I had no idea.
Yeah, they did have a league. Isaiah Thomas ruined it. Remember the CBA?
They can buy, by the way. There's a lot of those guys. If they wanted to have owner consortiums, they could. You mean tell me LeBron James couldn't buy an NBA team if he wanted to?
Can you be an owner?
No, I mean after he retires. After he retires.
Sure. Well, Jordan owns one. Michael Jordan owns one.
I mean, there's a lot of athletes that could do that. And I was reading a discussion of this very topic, and it was more leaning towards women directors and all the women who could easily finance their own movies and direct them if they wanted to, and they apparently don't want to.
Yeah.
Because you could, I mean, there's a list a mile long of men who do that, and they apparently want to. They like the idea of running it, and, you know, some people just don't want to do that.
Yeah. No, I understand that.
But,
I hope Kyrie starts his own league.
Why would baseball play and not basketball? That doesn't make any sense because baseball apparently is like, we can play, we just can't agree on the money.
Yeah, basketball would be the easiest, you would think, just from a logistics standpoint.
I don't know. I think
it's easier to play multiple games faster. There's a lot of advantage, less, you know, smaller roster.
What's the status of basketball? Is that not going to happen now?
I think Kyrie Irving ruined it.
I mean, wouldn't they have a start date and all? Like the first game is this date and all that stuff by now?
I think they're still trying to work it out. The season is
so fucking over. Come on.
They were very bullish and they're like, in July. And then it just kind of died. And
did somebody get blown for not coming up with a sentence that starts with in July?
Yeah, or
give me a jury and show me how you can say in July and I'll go down on you.
There's not going to be any sports.
I mean, basketball.
Other than what we have now.
If you don't have a schedule and tickets for sale right now, how would the you're going to run into next season? How can you just do that and then not take any time off and start the season? We'll start next season late, and then we'll start the next season less late.
They haven't even had their draft yet, have they? What about those What about those college players that are debating whether to return to the school? Oh wait, they're not going to be playing either.
Oh my God, it's so confusing if you think about it. Holy, basketball is so over. Hockey's starting. Do they have a start date? Come on,
yeah,
tell
July
me they
11th.
Do. Okay, at least they have a start date, and they're apparently in the direction of doing it. There's no way you should. The hockey thing, by the way. When does their next season start?
Good question.
How are they going to start next season on time?
Well, the other problem, too, is that, you know, a lot of them are talking about starting up in Florida where they've had, you know, some pretty high numbers of new COVID hospitalizations.
Wait, is that where hockey's going to play?
No, for the NBA and I think wrestling has that problem. Aren't they down there, Brandon?
Yeah, but the problem is wrestling, they just had a bunch of wrestlers test positive, so they stopped their tapings.
The NBA has sent teams a medical history questionnaire for players, coaches, traveling party that physicians will use to determine if members can participate in the restart either fully or restrictions from certain activities or excused due to pre-existing risk factors. It's just a mess.
It is just such a clusterfuck.
When's the WNBA coming back?
They don't have to worry about fans so much.
No, not at all. They're used to playing in front of no one.
They'll just air those games on TV. Yeah. Okay, did anybody hear the story about Frank Biden?
Frank Biden?
Frank, Joe's brother, Frank.
No. What job did he get?
Frank Biden lost a lawsuit. And this lawsuit is so crazy that if I were Frank Biden, okay, the story is that Frank Biden owes this guy $1 million in a lawsuit. I think it's $1 million. And he hasn't paid a cent. And this guy, of course, is now trying to take him to court saying, motherfucker, you haven't paid me. You know, sort of like OJ and the Goldmans, but not quite like OJ and the Goldmans. Frank Biden lives in a very expensive house. He lives in a very expensive lifestyle. And he claimed that he had $29 in his account or something when this case came up. And so, of course, the other attorneys are like, are you kidding me? That is total bullshit. Frank Biden, by the way, there's another reason he should just pay this off. Because Joe Biden has not only Hunter Biden in this Burisma deal, there's some really sketchy stuff with other family members of Joe Biden's and either jobs or things that they've gotten into that look kind of like, boy, that seems like somebody may have influenced something here for you to be doing this. And I think you can easily do a deep dive on Frank Biden and find out.
So did Joe influence him, or did he just use the name Biden?
No, Joe helped him.
Okay.
And I read a long article about, it was really about Hunter, but then it expanded to the other Biden family members who have enriched themselves because of their connection to Joe Biden, or at least that was what the story was suggesting. And I don't know how much of it's true.
So it looks like Frank Biden is big into charter schools in Florida.
Yeah. You know what? I couldn't remember what it was, but there is a connection. I think it was a connection to charter schools with Frank Biden. But I don't think that's the only thing.
In media interviews at the time when he did all this, Frank Biden was unabashed, calling his last name a, quote, tremendous asset because the family's record of, quote, taking care of people who need help.
Yeah, well, he took care of himself, too.
Telling people that brought him, quote, automatic acceptance as he sought government approvals for the for-profit Mavericks in Education.
There are a lot of government programs and grants, things like, you know, sort of like, remember when Kwame's wife got $250,000 for her ridiculous whatever the fuck it was? Okay, here's the deal. And she paid herself with half of it. And the other half, I forgot. I guess that was what it was for. But anyway, this story is so stupid that I would think Frank Biden would pay this thing off and beg the person to never tell anyone what happened. Let me see. Okay. On August 14th. Okay. This story is so stupid. 1993, Frank Biden was the director of legislative affairs for the government printing office. The job ended in June 97, and his marriage apparently over, Frank Biden moved to Florida, where he worked for a printing company run by a Democratic councilman in Boca Raton. 3 years later, and I don't know, you know, these all things, they sound sort of related to Joe Biden, but I don't even know. 3 years later, aged 43, Frank Biden was unemployed, had separate, it seems like there's a lot of unemployment in the Biden family. Had separated from his wife and moved to California. This is the next wife. And moved to California, where he rented an apartment in a gated complex in San Diego. Apparently at loose ends, he befriended Jason Turton, a 25-year-old. Wait, Biden's like 46 at this point. Who he met at the Whole Foods supermarket, where the younger man was earning $8.75 an hour. So Biden's like hanging with this 25-year-old dude who works at Whole Foods?
Weird.
Despite having a suspended license in Florida, hey, that's what that's Hunter knows all about that. Yeah. According to court papers, Frank Biden rented a string of cars at budget. Hey!
Hey,
that's what Hunter Biden did.
How do we know Hunter did it? Maybe it was Frank all along.
Frank rented a string of cars at budget, who were apparently unable to check his license was valid in San Diego. And then on July 14, 1999, he rented a Jaguar XK8.
Sweet.
Where's Hunter? Wait, he's unemployed.
That's a race car.
How was he running a Jaguar XK8 if he was unemployed shortly before this.
These cars, they're not money makers.
Okay, hang on, because you're not going to believe this. A 4-liter V8-powered sports coupe was available at was capable of 154 miles per hour, had a 5-speed automatic transmission that could be driven in manual. It took 7 seconds to reach 60 miles per hour.
Wow.
It has a Flowmaster exhaust, which I guess is impressive enough that they put it in the Flowmaster calendar in 2008.
No, that's not that car. This is that car.
I got a 426 Hemi in her, 3/4 cams, nitro boosters. I can get her up to as good as 155. Never do, though, of course, unless I'm chasing a cute chick in a Ferrari.
I could see Frank Biden saying that exact quote.
On August 14th, a month after renting the car, so he's had this XK8 for a month.
Cool.
Why didn't he fucking buy one?
He's broke.
Biden told police he went looking at houses with his girlfriend. He's got a new girlfriend. Dropped her off, then went to a restaurant to eat. His night after that was detailed in police reports and hundreds of pages of court documents.
Oh, boy.
At 10:15, wait, let me figure out if this is the guy. Oh, yeah, okay. this story is so stupid. He picked up, At 10:15, he picked up Turton. That's the 25-year-old guy who makes $8.75 at Whole Foods.
Yep.
At Whole Foods.
Gee, I wonder why they're pals.
Something kind of. Oh, I didn't even think about that. He just got divorced for the second time in four years.
I didn't mean that.
At 10:15, picked up Turton at Whole Foods and gave the younger man the keys to test drive the Jaguar.
Nice.
Apparently, Biden was keen to impress the young Turton.
Oh.
It's not a race car.
What? What?
I don't know. Maybe Turton does something that he needs.
Is Turton going to be that hard to impress? He makes $8.75 at Whole Foods. He's 25. I mean, really?
I don't know.
Maybe
he's not affected by much. Should we call him? You want me to look up Turton?
I don't think we can.
Oh.
They went first to the Belly Up Tavern beside Turton's house in Cardiff-on-Sea. How does Turton have a fucking crib? He makes $8.75 at Whole Foods. Mm. His house in, or is this like
is there money that's not on the books?
Wait, no. Could this be like Laguna Beach, where they say it's Elsie's house when it's her parents' house?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, he's Luna Dance.
They went to Belly Up Tavern beside Turton's house in Cardiff-on-Sea, where they bought concert tickets. How old is Frank Biden? How old is this kid? And Turton drank a beer and two tequila shots.
What concert?
They don't say. I wish they had.
Would you love to know?
Yes. Then they went to Turton's house again, meeting two women. Hey, hustling chicks with a 25-year-old.
With that car.
I mean, it's my car. I pay for everything around here, right?
That's Frank Biden.
How fucking dumb is this?
To the ladies, like, oh, pretty cool car.
I mean, it's my car. I pay for everything around here, right?
Hey, Turton, let's pick up some ladies in the Jaguar. They went to Turton's house, meeting two women, Charity Johnson, then 23, and Heather Pavlik, then 25, and another man. Oh, to pick up. Okay, wait. Do you want to turn his house? No, it doesn't say they were. It just says they went to pick up these three people at Turton's house. These two dudes, 23 and 25, and two women.
Pretty soon, I bet they'll all be swinging together.
and another man, David Russell, who's 32.
Oh, man. 3-2. Three guys, two chicks.
They planned to go together back to the Belly Up just a block away. You mean these fucking people can't walk to the Belly Up? Biden has to impress him with a one-block ride to the Belly Up?
We've got to lay down some ground rules. When we wind up working the same broad, no eye contact between the two of us. And they're going to encourage us to explore each other's bodies.
What?
And that's a hard no for me.
So Turton's 25.
Yes.
These three.
The babes are 23 and 25, and the dude Russell is 32. And
Frank Biden at the time was 43.
He's 46 because it was 3 years before that.
Oh, okay.
When he was out in California, I think. He's either 43, 44, 45, 46.
Still,
I think
though,
he's 46.
Why is he hanging out with these
I don't know 20. Why he's hanging out with these people. And I don't know why these people can't walk to the Belly Up a block away. Biden has to pick him up in his rented Jaguar.
Yeah, you got a badass car like that. Why not, man?
Do you think that he told them it was rented when they went, whoa, nice car, Biden?
Oh, that's what he said.
I mean, it's my car. I pay for everything around here, right?
This is so embarrassing.
And then he said,
I'm so.
Yeah, well, replicas.
I'm so embarrassed.
Boom, nice car, but we're going to have to get you into the BT series. Its emissions are actually cleaner.
If I'm Frank Biden, I'm so embarrassed that this story has come to light. I mean, I would shoot myself in the head.
If you're Frank Biden, yeah.
Yes, I'm Frank Biden. Yeah. But no, he doesn't want to pay this off.
There's no shame, Gene.
No. It was a warm, dry Saturday night. Instead of going directly to Belly Up, they decided at 11:15 to drive north on 101. Oh, so he could show off the X. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it wasn't about them walking, saving them a block walk to the Belly Up. He wanted to impress them more than driving them a block in the Jaguar. So they went north on 101, the Coast Highway, then turned back. Just before 11:25, the car stopped at a traffic signal on Chesterfield Drive to turn back onto the 101. Biden, riding shotgun, leaned over and put the stick into manual, selecting second gear. After the signal turned green and the...
What?
After the signal turned green... So stupid. And the car pulled away. Turton recalled Biden telling him to put the car in third gear and saying, punch it!
Wait, Turton's driving, right?
Yes, Turton's driving. Biden is shifting. He took it out of manual and put it in second gear.
How's he shifting when the other guy's driving it?
The shifter's right next to Biden. He's in the passenger seat.
Oh, but there's no...
It's manual, and he took it into...
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. So you don't. There's no clutch. I got you.
I don't know. I'm not sure. Signal turned green. It off. The car pulled away. Turton recalled Biden telling him to put the car in third gear and saying, punch it!
Wow.
Turton then put the car into fourth gear. Sheriff's deputies calculated at this point the car was traveling at 76 miles an hour.
Hold on to your dick!
Slow down.
At 11:25, speeding at between 70 and 80 miles an hour, the car was just outside the Kraken Bar. The doorman, John Farr, saw it and told the deputy it was... And I quote, really flying.
Oh, there's the loose-lipped doorman again.
Do we need John Farr's comment?
Well, he saw it.
Really important story.
It's all that it was flying.
In the road, Michael Albano and his friend Matthew Bender had left the Kraken Bar and started across 101 on foot to get to Albano's parked car. They were 100 feet from the nearest marked crosswalk. Bender was in front, Albano just behind. Bender, now 52, said... We had a wonderful night. Mike had to go pick up his daughter from a party, so we took off.
I looked and
didn't see any cars, so we just started crossing the street. As we were walking across, Mike said, hey, you better hurry up. That car's moving pretty fast. I look over and saw him two steps behind me on my left side. I looked over and saw the car, and I ran to the curb. As soon as I got to the curb, that's when I heard the screech of brakes. Nearby, another witness, Christopher Butow, the manager of the Beach House restaurant, was watering his plants. He's watering his plants at 11:25?
That's code for he was outside sneaking a smoke, either of a cigarette or weed.
Nearby,
borophil, more like borophil.
Nearby, another witness, Christopher Butow, the manager. Okay, he heard somebody yell. Oh, he was watering his plants. He heard someone yell, "Hurry up!" Then heard a skidding car. In the car, Turton saw two people on the. In the car, Turton saw two people. He's driving with Biden shifting and telling him to punch it. Turton saw two people on the road and braked, but it was too late. The Jaguar hit Albano. At the worst, the car was going 76 miles an hour. Bender heard a loud sound. I turned around, and there he was on the ground. Far, watching from the door, the Kraken saw a pedestrian and a shoe fly in the air. Butow, the plant watering guy, looked up to see a man being hit by a car. It was Albano. The Jaguar hit Albano with its right side, so that would have been Biden's side. Yeah. Biden would have been looking at him.
Yeah.
Throwing him up in the air. On the way, he hit the right front headlamp, was propelled into the right of the windshield, directly in front of Frank Biden, by the way, who told police he, and I quote, ducked. Yeah, I ducked. What a dick. Then I can't believe he's quoted as ducking. Then over the top of it, his body hit passenger Heather Pavlik on the right side of her face.
Oh, whoa.
Then the trunk before hitting the asphalt. In the car, according to witness testimony, both the women said they heard Biden say, keep driving!
I hate to laugh at it, but I could totally see him doing that.
Fuck?
And I know really very little about him, but it just sounds very on brand for
the rest of... Well, that's what Hunter did with the rental car. He had two hit and runs in the rental car. While he was working in Burisma, making 80 grand a month.
Deal with it later. Mm-hmm.
Keep driving! Why is Biden not even the fucking driver? Well, he's the one that shifted and said, punch it, though.
Yeah.
to a 25-year-old who works at Whole Foods making $8.75 an hour? Okay. Thankfully, Turton did not. So that Turton, the Whole Foods
he's the
guy,
adult in the group.
Yeah, he's more responsible.
Even though he did punch it. What are you going to do when Frank Biden tells you to do something?
It took the car 777 feet. That would be two football fields to come to a halt. He was later told deputies he hesitated before he stopped because Biden yelled.
Yeah.
I'm sure the chicks were really impressed with Biden.
Well, yeah, especially since one got hit in the face by the guy's body. Jeez.
Shouldn't Joe Biden have paid this off so we would never know this story? This guy shares genes with the next president, possibly.
Yeah, but when did this happen? He didn't know then.
Who didn't know?
When was this? Wasn't this a long...
1999.
Yeah.
But he hasn't paid a cent. Biden should have paid this off so we would never know that he shared a gene pool with this guy.
Yeah, but we don't know how, you know...
20 years.
We don't know how loose-lipped at the people at that restaurant are, at the beach house.
Well, I still would not want this story out. Behind the Jaguar.
I don't think it's that easy to just bury stories like that.
Well, if he hadn't, but if the reason we know the story is because Biden won't pay this guy. Thankfully, Turton did not, but it took our 777 feet to come to a halt. Behind the Jaguar, Albano was fatally injured. Farr, the doorman, the loose-lip doorman, ran out from the Kraken and saw he was bleeding profusely on the road. Then went back into the bar to ask anyone if they were a doctor or EMT, rushing back out with a woman to Albano's body. Buto, the plant guy, he dialed 911 and ran to the accident scene. Turton turned to Biden and asked what he should do. They both got out of the car and walked to where Albano was lying in the street. Biden was seen talking to Turton. Buden heard Biden saying, "What could I have done to prevent this?" What?
Jesus Christ. Maybe walked to the restaurant. Maybe not rent a Jag to show off.
What could I have done to prevent this?
Maybe not.
What the fuck are you talking about, ass? Then Biden went back to the car alone and told the passengers to stay inside. Charity Johnson said, "Everything is really messed up." He said to them, he said to them.
Yeah, Frank said that.
"Everything is really messed up." The three passengers did not see Turton again. The first deputy at the scene was 11:29, along with first responders and Cedars Fire Department. Do you have any idea this was going to go on this long?
No, fascinated by it.
I didn't either. I know I am too.
Never heard this story.
And Encinitas Fire Department. Well, that's why Biden should have coughed up the $1 million. Said, "Look, you fucking asshole, you're a lame ass brother. I'm paying this off."
He doesn't want to spend his money on his loser brother.
Encinitas Fire Department engine 2312 and paramedics Laurel Roberts and Barry Shirella could not do anything to save him. They pronounced him dead at 11:46. According to a coroner's report, he'd suffered a fractured skull, broken nose, fractured right elbow. Oh, God, this is just so bad. In the aftermath, Turton...
What about that girl's face? Did she have injuries?
No, it doesn't say.
Jeez, did you hear Brandon?
Yeah, I know. His trajectory, I saw it. In the aftermath, Turton... ran from the scene of the crime.
Oh,
your
boy.
Fucking car's there. Biden's there. Biden's not going to take the blame for this, you idiot.
No proof Turton was there. Right? He didn't rent it.
Well, I guess.
There's the interesting thing. How do they find out that Turton was even involved?
Idiot.
Who narked on Turton?
Your idiot 46-year-old friend and three people know you're driving the car. You fucking idiot. The car's 777 feet ahead. You should have just booked like Biden told you if you're going to run.
Maybe that was his thinking.
Maybe Biden told him to run and that information hasn't been made available. Biden stayed. And appears to have at least misled the police about what he knew.
Oh, boy.
Biden said he did not know where the driver lived or where he was. What? Huh. Biden, what are you talking about? What is he still trying to weasel out of this thing?
That's a pretty good...
It's crazy. The driver, I don't know where he lives or where he is, so we'll just be on our way.
It's a pretty good move, because who would think he'd be friends with a guy who makes $8.75 at Whole Foods?
I know, except that the police don't even know him.
Yeah.
Deputy Dennis Mahar recorded, but Biden had driven Turton home earlier that night.
Yeah.
What? He'd driven him home?
Yeah, didn't
from the scene?
I thought that was earlier. I don't know. I'm so confused.
I thought Turton was driving when Biden shifted the...
He was, but I...
I thought Turton was driving when they hit this... this guy.
No, he was. He was.
So how did he drive him home?
I thought you said earlier.
Oh, he driven him home. Oh, so he knows where he lives. Okay,
he drive him home from Whole Foods.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, yes. He, and they went. They had to. They didn't want their friends to have to walk a block.
Yeah.
When Biden had rented this fancy schmancy Jaguar, and it could get him laid with this girl that's 25 or the 23-year-old. Biden said, I don't know where he lives or where he is. But Biden had driven Turton home earlier that night, according to police reports. He said he did not know Jason's surname.
I just call him Turton. I don't know if that might be his first name.
He must think the cops are so stupid. Biden, what are you doing? Biden would not tell me who owned the vehicle and how fast. Well, he didn't own the vehicle. He knew that. Well, he didn't want to say who owned it because then he would have been embarrassed in front of the girls who would have found out that he rented the car.
The Jag,
Biden would not tell me who owned the vehicle or how fast they were traveling and was evasive to every question I asked. Ooh. Biden! Eventually, Biden told another deputy that Turton was wearing a Hawaiian shirt and black corduroys.
Cool. It was a fun night.
Look, I don't know who the driver is, but he was wearing a Hawaiian shirt. So if you find the guy in the Hawaiian shirt and the black cords, you got him. Biden!
Drive safely.
Oh, my God. What a fucking idiot. Turton was on the run, but not for long. He had gone to his house less than a mile and a half away and called his girlfriend, Rebecca Biscaduros, at her house. She drove from San Diego and found him disoriented and in shock. Eventually told Biscaduros, then 25, what had happened, and she drove him to the scene. He was back there at 1:44 a.m. in the morning to turn himself in, smelling of alcohol. The deputies administered a PAS breath test, which showed him to be at 0.18 BAC, well over the limit.
Wow, and that's what, 3 hours later, 2 hours later?
Yeah, it's, yes, about 3 hours later, 2 hours later, 2.5 hours later. McCarr, according to his interview, that Turton said he asked Biden what he should do. I asked Biden what I should do. The report said, Turton said someone told him, just leave. He did not even remember what speed he was driving at. Nice going, Biden, telling him to leave. What the fuck are you doing? A fucking guy is dead.
Yeah.
Well, see here, driver left. He's worried. Find the guy with a Hawaiian shirt.
Black corduroys.
Michael Albano was a doting 37-year-old father, bringing up his daughter, Lorena, 17, Nicole, 16, when he died. He'd been their sole parents for 13 years. Wow. After their mother had been diagnosed with schizophrenia and he'd done everything. Oh, man.
Jesus.
Could this suck anymore? Nice going, Biden.
Yeah.
Punch it! For 15 years, he'd worked as a cashier at Vaughn's Supermarket until carpal tunnel syndrome forced him to resign. God damn it. This story is just so bad. Then he worked at Scripps Institute, now Scripps Research, a medical research facility in San Diego. My brother worked there.
Could have been him.
Service
technician. Could have been him.
Could have been. He could have met Biden.
Well, no, this is the guy that died. He could have been drinking. Or could have been
that
guy too.
Like that could have been me.
If he was friends with him, he could have. Yeah, he could have been killed by Biden.
Then he worked at Scripps Institute, service technician, repairing equipment. But he juggled that with raising his daughters and gaining his first a BS in psychology from San Diego State in 1996. Then an MBA from National University in La Jolla the next year. This guy's something else, isn't he? He's got really weird hair. His commitment had paid off. Just before his death, he was hired by Devereaux Foundation of San Diego as their human resources manager. And Albano had never faltered his devotion to his daughters. He coached their soccer team. They're just trying to make this worse and worse and worse, aren't they?
It's really sad.
Took him on camping trips, trips to the zoo, Disneyland, concerts. He bought his daughter. It sounds like kids are kind of spoiled.
Oh, come on.
I'm kidding. He brought his daughters up as Catholics, helped them prepare for confirmation. A letter before his death, which is submitted to court as part of the wrongful death suit against Biden. Albano wrote to daughter Nicole, nicknamed Nikki, to discuss a retreat she'd been on. In the letter, Albano told her how proud he was of her and called her a great companion. He ends the letter, "What you most mean to me is that I have someone who unconditionally loves me no matter what. The feeling is mutual. Dad." Oh, my God. They have this note here. Nice going, Biden. Yeah. Nice not paying the fucking wrongful death suit. And now I have to read all of this and feel like shit, and you don't feel anything. You don't even care that now we all know your brother shares half this idiotic gene pool. Punch it!
I don't blame him, though.
Keep driving!
Is he responsible for his loser brother and loser son?
He's got half his genes.
Yeah.
And he's not responsible for them, but I'm concerned about the gene pool. In the aftermath of Albano's death, police report coldly...
Yeah, but look at Joe Biden's kids. One seemed to be a pretty good guy, and the other's a total loser.
I know, that's what I mean. These genes are flaky. You just don't know with Biden genes.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, maybe Joe got the better genes.
Sounds like it.
And Frank is just...
Well, Joe got the plagiarism gene. We know that. In the aftermath of Albano's death, a police report coldly set out who was to blame. He was primarily at fault for not using a marked crossing. Turton was to blame to a lesser extent. Biden was not mentioned. Turton was charged by and eventually cut a plea deal with prosecutors, but it fell to the Albano family to seek more of the truth of what happened, in particular, how a 25-year-old shop worker came to be at the wheel of a prestigious and powerful car. Oh, I see. So, yeah, the Biden name wins out again.
Yeah.
Lorena and Nicole had been taken to their grandparents by Ralph and Carmen Albano, and the family began a lawful death suit, August 14, 2000, after negotiations failed. Nice going, Biden. You could have negotiated your way out of it.
Yep.
They spelled out the cold details of their lives been harmed, estimating their financial costs. Blah, blah, blah. Case began to unravel the tangled story behind how Albano came to die, and their targets multiplied from budget, and then in September 2001, budget finally released a rental agreement to Biden! The man who'd hired the car told the driver to punch it! They keep putting quotes around punch it.
I know. Well, it's what he said.
Biden did not face prosecution, but he became the target of the Albano's attorneys. He was served September 10th. Ooh, day before 9/11.
Well, maybe that's why Biden thought it would go away.
But it was the first last time.
What is this? We're in a whole new world now. It doesn't count anymore.
No, it's day one.
Everything starts new now.
He was served 9/10/2001, but it was the first and last time the Albanos had any success with him. The case moved slowly as the battle budget, which at one point entered bankruptcy. Oh, man. The Albanos accused the firm of letting Biden rent cars repeatedly despite knowing of his past history of mental health problems and or drug and alcohol abuse and past driving record, and he was unlicensed.
That is pretty amazing.
Yeah,
that
budget is fucked in this thing. Yeah. And you cannot rent a car without a driver's license. So,
nope. Biden, unless your last name's
family
Biden.
Name. Yeah. Fuck. And he thinks he's the fucking president. Punch it! I'll do the shifting.
With the president?
I'm in charge here.
It's okay.
I'm in charge here more than Al Haig ever was.
Why didn't he just drive it?
Fucking.
Why? You're getting nervous, man.
Because he's trying to impress a Whole Foods employee.
Well.
Budget settled the case.
It was his way to get some young pussy.
Budget settled the case with the Albano sister for an undisclosed sum. By the planned trial date, January 4, 2002, they'd amassed a pile of evidence against Biden.
That's a bunch of malarkey.
Including depositions and police reports, which they felt Biden would have to acknowledge. Their attorney tried to depose him, but Biden vanished.
Oh, God.
Wait a second. A private investigator could not find him. Ads were placed in newspapers looking for Biden.
No one said that. Who said that?
What a lousy private investigator.
Biden had fled California, leaving behind a string of unpaid debts, including utility and phone bills. Biden!
An old butt buddy.
I feel like all
the... What the fuck is this?
Every Biden family member should be banned from California, and they just leave behind a trail of disaster in cars.
This is not just a disappointing member of the family. This is another complete loser. Yeah.
I just think that Frank Biden should be treated like anybody else would be treated under that circumstance.
All men and women created by the... Go, you know the thing.
You mean under the thing? The thing.
You know he fucking went there and goes, hey, you know what, Joe Biden's my brother, and I need this Jaguar. I don't have a license, but my brother's Joe. He'll take care of anything that happens.
Maybe he used Joe's license.
Biden left California.
Looking for my brother, Al Donnelly. He's around here somewhere.
I'm trying. Is it possible that we'll find out that he's any bigger a loser than we already know? Is that even possible?
Well, yeah. I mean,
it can't get worse, can it?
We already know about some of the dealings in Florida. So yeah.
You fled from California. Wait, Florida?
Yeah, with the charter schools we're talking about.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh well, that's how he gets back in the money. Biden fled California, leaving behind utility phone bills, at least two bank loans in default. Biden!
God, what a zero.
As well as other delinquent accounts. He had no known income, didn't own any property, and the PI couldn't find any record of him operating an open bank account. What the fuck? The PI even spoke to neighbors of Joe Biden in Wilmington, Delaware, who said Frank occasionally stayed at his older brother's home, but at that point, they had no idea where he was. The trial was badly delayed. Eventually, in September of 2002, the Albanos won the Pyrrhic of victories. A default judgment said Biden owed $275,000 to each of the bereaved girls with a penalty of 10% interest for every unpaid year.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Why not just pay it off?
The attorney was gloomy. If you got a default judgment in that amount and they didn't bother even showing up for the case, don't expect them to pay a nickel, especially Biden! Biden was not hiding. Far from it. He was living and committing crime in Florida. On August 20, 2003, he was arrested.
That's a bunch of malarkey.
He was arrested for DUI. You fucking asshole!
Jesus.
An open and almost empty 375 ml bottle of Popov vodka in his car had red, watery eyes, slurred speech, flushed face, and did not know where he had been or where he came from. During the stop, the unsteady businessman...
Liquor's drunkened me.
He's not a businessman. He's a guy trying to impress a Whole Foods employee with a Jaguar.
Yeah.
Businessman gave the police officer his credit card and a handful of change in lieu of his driver's license and registration and flunked a roadside test. Shockingly, that is not shocking. I take exception to the author saying that was shocking. Shockingly, his license had been suspended 4 times. He'd been given 6 months probation, police records show. October 27, 2003, Biden was arrested for petty theft at a block. Biden! Wait,
were you about to say at a Blockbuster?
Yes, at a Blockbuster. You fucking asshole, Biden.
Who does petty theft? What did he steal?
That's a bunch of malarkey.
Steal some candy?
I see it ahead.
Oh, no.
I believe this.
You got Armageddon on DVD.
He was arguing with store workers who called police, and when he was searched, he had DVDs of Rabbit Proof Fence, and he had DVDs of Rabbit Proof Fence stuffed down his pants.
Is that a porn?
Biden!
It's a Kiefer Sutherland movie from 2002. Well, that's an action drama.
Biden, come on, Biden.
I've
never even heard of it.
That's really worth it. Care to guess the thermometer for Rabbit Proof Fence?
Maybe
it is worth it.
54.
87 from the critics, 86.
I didn't even know the movie, so it was just a wild guess. Defendant's intention was to exit the store without paying for the DVDs, said one of the arresting officers. They said DVDs. There must have been more than one. On November 21, 2004, Biden was arrested for driving with a suspended license, sentenced to rehab. You going to rehab, Biden? Avoiding a 30-day sentence after pleading. Gee, I wonder if his connections are helping him somehow stay free. He spent 3 months in rehab. You going to rehab? In fact, the public database suggests that he has lived openly in Florida since at least 2000, moving from Delray Beach, Boca Raton, and Pompano Beach, while also staying with his brother James Biden in Washington, D.C. They go, why the PA failed to find him is now unclear. The Albanos have twice appealed to Joe Biden to get help to help his brother admit his role in their father's death and pay up! In 2006, Nicole, then 23, wrote an email to the then senator, but she never got a reply. Then in 2008, Biden's own presidential campaign, his second, had failed badly, but he became Obama's running mate. One night, Nicole was watching television when she saw Biden speak movingly about losing his first wife, Neely, and 13-month-old daughter, Naomi, in a car crash in 72.
And I have an incorrect correction. That's not Kiefer Sutherland. It's some kind of a lookalike. Kenneth.
Can you imagine this poor girl watching Biden talking about his wife and daughter? Now, he's not Frank Biden, but still, at the same time, Nicole, via her attorney, asked the politician for his help to recoup their judgment from his brother, believing he'd be sympathetic to their plight. Their attorney, Richard Cornell, wrote to both Biden's chief of staff, Louis Navarro, and his vice presidential campaign chief of staff, Patty Salas Doyle. He included extensive details of the case. At the very least, Nicole hoped Biden could persuade his brother, Frank Biden, to do the right thing. And they have the letter there, which is a little long, not that long. Instead, the senator's chief of staff, Louis Navarro, wrote September 24, 2008, offering deepest sympathies.
Oh, boy.
You fucker.
That's worse, because now you know he's aware of it.
With the Albano daughters over their loss. But our thoughts and prayers are with you. But claimed, Frank Biden is unable to pay.
That was the point of the letter to begin with.
The senator would certainly senator will certainly encourage his brother to pay the judgment if his personal financial circumstances make that at all possible, Navarro wrote in the letter. Yeah, right. As you are aware, however, Frank has no assets with which to satisfy the judgment. The senator regrets that this is where help matters stand and that he cannot be more helpful. Oh, my God. This is so not funny. I'm sorry I'm laughing.
No,
I know. It's
funny.
It's incredible, the bullshit level.
Yeah.
Whether what Joe Biden's staff told the Obamas about Frank was true, that he had no assets, is at least, very least, open to question, given the shifting accounts he has offered of his career. And by 2009, he was the self-described big cheese of a chain of charter schools with access to a private jet.
Ooh, wow.
Biden!
So he's really turned himself around.
You fucker! Yeah, I got a private jet. Hey, punch it! What a fucking dick. I got a private jet. Oh, my God. Why would this asshole, this fucking tool, who can't keep his driver's license unsuspended, have access to a private jet?
Because he's good at separating people from their money.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So whether what Joe Biden's staff told the Obamas about Frank was true, that he had no assets, is at least for... Okay, wait. I'm sorry.
So is Frank Biden going to be the Mary Trump of the election?
Is Mary Trump the niece that's ratting out?
She's the niece that's writing a tell-all about the family. Yeah, and so people.
Oh, seriously, Shell thought the AT&T girl.
Yeah,
what's her name?
Lily.
Lily.
Oh, I don't know.
She's so pretty.
Name.
Who's the celebrity that nailed her?
Oh,
is it John Mayer?
Was it
John Mayer?
Yeah.
Wasn't Orlando Bloom?
I'm serious.
Oh, maybe it was.
There are not many prettier girls than that girl.
No,
she's so pretty.
Answer. Yeah, it's cool.
Well, she's got a great body, too. Anyway, where was I? Oh, yeah. Biden! 2011. Okay, first of all, I have to go back to this. By 2008, it was a self-described big cheese. Hey, I'm the big cheese.
He
self-described.
Probably,
I'm the big cheese.
He probably just. Yeah.
You fucking dick. You are not the big cheese. You are such a loser.
Cheese.
How dare you tell people you're the big cheese?
Who says that?
Cheese.
Frank Biden.
Yeah. What the f*** happened to my cheese balls?
If anybody claims to be the big cheese,
they're cheese on the taco.
A fucking loser, man.
I know. What an ass. In 2011.
I'm the official voice for Kraft Macaroni and Cheese.
He said he'd been out of Florida for some time until 2008, working for Hand in Hand Ministries, a Kentucky-based charity providing scholarships to poor children in Appalachia and Latin America. I do believe anything
you know
this guy says.
I got to check it out, but I thought I came across something where I think he's being sued from somebody regarding that, too. I got to don't quote me on that. I'll see if I can.
He had been in Nicaragua. Oh, he could get to Nicaragua and back, but
he
can't
a
pay
plane.
A judgment.
A private
yeah,
plane.
That's right. Forgot.
Or access. Yeah.
He'd been in Nicaragua.
Where's Hunter?
Contracted a bacterial infection moving to Florida to recover.
God.
Oh, shut up.
He's a load.
That did not account for his dealings with the police in Florida in 2003. So he's lying. In April 2015, he told a rather different version of the story, claiming he'd been in El Salvador and Nicaragua since right towards the end of the Clinton administration, adding, I was one of his chief salesmen.
Oh, no.
Biden! Oh, my God, he's such a dork. It was hardly how a political appointee of the government printing office would be known. It also did not account for him working for a printing company in Florida in 1997. Clinton was in office until 2000 and having two driving offenses in the state in 1998, one which led to his license being suspended when Obano died. He raised funds and built schools for the Catholic charity, he claimed, in an online profile dating from 2009.
Wait, what? He did what?
He's on a dating app in 2009. Yes. He said he'd been director of a major philanthropy in Central America.
The big cheese.
More recently, he described himself as its chief funding officer, although exactly what that is unclear.
Chief funding, yeah. Well, he separated people from their money.
But what is known is that in early 2009, Biden became involved in a for-profit charter school chain called Mavericks in Education, calling himself development officer. Asked by the Palm Beach Post to describe his role, he said, I'm the big cheese.
No, did he really?
Yes. Yes. That is a quote. You fucking dick.
By the way, the average salary of somebody working in the government printing office is $87,000.
So he got as much for doing nothing in a year as Hunter got in a month.
Yeah.
This is described as the
big G.
Press releases described him as the brother of Vice President Joe Biden.
Yeah, oh, that's nice. His real job.
In fall 2000, you know, it's funny. Most people, if their brother's vice president, they probably don't want to bring it up. They'd rather do things on their own and have people discover it. But no, it's the first thing he says. In fall 2009, Biden appeared in a photograph with Jack Nicklaus looking for investors.
How much did he steal from Jack Nicklaus?
We'll find out in a couple paragraphs.
Wow.
Looking for investor in a Costa Rica property scheme.
No wonder Jack Nicklaus loves Trump. Because Frank Biden took him for millions.
He's looking for investors in a Costa Rican property scheme, of which he was president. The big cheese. The big cheese. I'm a big cheese on that, too.
I bet you he has one of those things in the front of his desk that just says, the big cheese.
By 2011, he granted an interview to the Miami New Times about his charter school work, saying, "Everything I do, I've got to know that it could appear on the front page of the New York Times." I don't think
Shut
so.
The fuck up.
Oh my God, what a liar.
Like you murdering a guy?
Do my best never to do anything to besmirch Joe's reputation. While the newspaper's writing its article and investigating his status, he suddenly registered as a lobbyist and changed his title to Mavericks President.
Oh my God.
That you're registered as a lobbyist, you fucking asshole.
Of course.
This is the Hunter Biden. He is reaching. He must have had a meeting with Hunter. And hey, you know what? There's so much money in lobbying. Just throw Dad's name around. That year, he was in the news also when a mysterious envelope of white powder exploded when he opened it, with the Secret Service among the agencies responding.
He was hospitalized for that.
My brother is next in line to be leader of the free world, and anyone in that circle is subject to the vagaries of some nut out there, he told the Sun Sentinel. I bet he fucking put it in the envelope, Biden.
Probably wasn't anything.
Or it was those girls he's been fucking over for 20 years, and I wouldn't blame him. In 2012, he's back in Costa Rica promoting his country club scheme in a local newspaper, telling the Tico Times
about
plans which appear never to have materialized.
Yeah, I'm shocked.
To create a sustainable resort on the Pacific coast, and saying there was more than $4 million already invested.
Yeah, that went towards nothing.
He claimed in 2009.
Didn't he take $1 million of that and paid off these families?
Yeah. Man, wouldn't you love to talk to Jack Nicklaus right now?
Oh, I'm sure he's furious about it.
He claimed in 2009 and 2012 to have attended the University of Delaware, Cornell University, and Pepperdine Law School.
Jeez, pick one.
Making the same claims in 2014 when he became a member of the board of a Canadian software firm called EXOU, which is now defunct.
God, board position.
So how many degrees does he have? Remember, Joe said he had 3 and he had 1.
Yeah.
He says that... Okay, he started claiming in 2009 and also claimed it in 2012. He went to U of D, Cornell. He did not go to Cornell.
No, no
Pepperdine
way.
Law School.
No way he went to Pepperdine either. It's a tough law school.
His sobriety, too, has not been consistently described.
It's crazy. That's what anyone asks about it. Frank Biden just says, it's crazy.
He told the Herald Mail of Hagerstown, Maryland. Boy, he sure is available for interviews. Maybe he'll talk to us.
Maybe he'll talk to the Wasilla Times.
This is 1 year ago. He said he was 23 years sober.
Wrong.
His DUI arrest records make clear that was untrue.
Wrong. Yeah.
Does this story ever end? Does this guy ever start stop fucking off? After a decade of Biden avoiding the law, August 2012, the Albano sisters went to renew the default judgment hanging. Technicality meant there were 2 judgments, 1 for each of them. Mistakenly, they only renewed 1. In effect, Biden's bill was immediately and irrevocably cut in half.
Oh, that's
what?
Oh, that sucks.
By technicality, what kind of bullshit is that?
Because he owed both of them, but they only renewed 1 of the judgments.
Oh, my God. So they have to sue him again.
For each of the daughter. Well, I don't know if they can. Can they?
Hey, kiss my ass, bitch. I'm paying you shit.
Why not? That's ridiculous. It was a bitter blow, but on the other side of the nation, Frank Biden was busy building a new life in Florida. It was good times for Frank. His brother was the VP, and his surname was in demand. In 2009, he became a lobbyist for a pro-profit charter school company, Mavericks in Education, making the case for the chain at the Florida State House and becoming its president and chief development officer by 2011. He became so hooked on the Mavericks program, which he said was on a mission from God. Jeez. Oh, nice Blues Brother drop, you ass. That he began flying around the state in a private jet, lobbying school officials and local politicians to support the charities. In 2012, he pushed for a ban on the sale of horse meat and may have helped persuade his brother to bring it about. What? His precise role is disputed. There were other ventures. He's now managing member of Choice Education, president and founder of Cygnus International LLC, a real estate development and consulting firm.
Yeah.
Director at Delmarva Group LLC in a lot of LLCs here, I see. Director at Sun Fund America, a solar development company based in Liberia, Costa Rica.
I did a quick search on them. They're all incorporated in Delaware. Which has advantageous, but isn't that where Joe's from?
Yes. Yeah. Policy director at the...
A lot of businesses are.
He's on the board for the National Recovery Council. ABC News reported in total he earned hundreds of thousands of dollars, enough to pay at least some of his debt to the Albanos as it grew at a 10% annual rate. In 2016, he said he wanted his brother to run for president, but mourning the loss of his son, Beau, Joe stayed out and Donald beat Hillary. Later that year, he and his partner, Mindy Ward, were guests at the White House state dinner. It's a state dinner. We've got to have Frank Biden. Nobody deserves to be at a state dinner more than Frank Biden.
Do you know about Mindy's background or no?
I do not.
Okay.
What's her deal?
No, keep going. You'll get to it.
I had no idea this rabbit hole was so deep.
This story also has, he's also the face of a law group. Did you know that?
Yes, I did. I read about that. I mean, that story was in and of itself, like, pretty horrible.
I'm the non-attorney senior advisor to clients statewide who need diversified business solutions.
Just sink in. Let that sink in. What his position is with this law firm. Ready? Listen to exactly what he does for him.
I'm Frank Biden. I'm the non-attorney senior advisor to clients statewide who need diversified business solutions.
Non-attorney advisor.
He said he went to Pepperdine Law School.
He didn't graduate. He didn't pass.
Fine again.
He didn't pass the bar.
I'm available for consultation with attorney Teddy Berman in any of our offices statewide. Contact our main office in Boca Raton to schedule a consultation.
I wouldn't want to contact this fucking loser.
I
don't want to consult you. You're not even a lawyer, and you're a total fucking scumbag.
Anytime.
So he got paid for doing this.
375-5.
He's clearly got a nice office there, too, where he just fucks around.
Oh, my God. Yeah, don't be afraid to trade on your brother's name.
You know, it's interesting. There's another non-attorney on this advisor group, and I believe it's the guy that he did the horse meat thing with. The Abruzzo guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's part of this log. He's one of the non-attorney advisors.
His latest role has been in July 2018 as a non-attorney senior advisor to the Boca Raton. Why would they want a non-attorney senior advisor?
Because his name's Biden.
Holy shit. Biden appears on YouTube offering a consultation with customers.
I'm not going to trial with this attorney.
The name Biden is highlighted in bold. His non-attorney status is in far smaller text. The Albanos moved on with the case in California, appointing creditors Crystal Bergstrom in 2017 to pursue it. Lorraine and Nicole are now both mothers themselves, bringing up young families who will never know their grandfather. Bergstrom has found where Biden is and, more importantly, managed to pursue litigation in Florida to make it possible to enforce the California debt there. How embarrassing that Joe Biden has to deal with all this mess that Hunter Biden and Frank Biden create. And there's more Bidens, by the way. I told you I read this long story about all the Biden family members trading on his name. In January 2019, Bergstrom served Biden at the offices of Choice Education in Lake Worth, Florida, the successor to Maverick. The notice to garnish Biden's wages was also sent by Curry to several other companies he is believed to work with, but still nothing. I know he's received our notices. He was personally served with documents at his home in Palm Beach several times. His law firm and other companies linked to Biden were served. Every single company on the assignment order has blown us off. They have all ignored us. But September 2019, more than 20 years since Albano's death, his family finally got a court order, which makes it possible to enforce the judgment fully in Florida.
Good.
Attorney
Good.
John Hader in Florida, representing the creditor, registered the ruling, became final, domesticated after
it's
Biden.
Like getting money out of OJ, man.
Biden was given 30 days to respond in August 28th, 2019.
There's no way he did. I will bet my
entire net worth. I have not read the next few paragraphs. I'll bet my entire net worth he did not do it.
Not only that, I mean, it's not like he could find a law firm anywhere.
This means the creditor can now levy Biden's assets and garnish his wages. I hope now some progress will be made, but from the very beginning, Mr. Biden has completely ignored us. He has now seized Biden's property, including his 2014 supercharged Range Rover.
Dick.
Oh, there he's driving his.
Yeah.
So here I am in my supercharged Range Rover.
Punch it!
A car worthy of a big cheese.
Punch it!
Biden's partner,
it's
Mindy.
It's not a race car.
Mindy Ward, 47, a Hooters waitress turned American Airlines flight attendant, was spotted driving the white Range Rover near their home.
So where do you
think? I didn't want to be the big cheese for a day. Here's my Range Rover. It's supercharged.
Where do you think?
Why does he want a supercharged Range Rover? He's the fucking last time he punched it, he killed somebody. Ward's parents registered Republicans. Republicans? Ooh. Own the 600,000 Atlantis Palm Beach home. Wait, her parents own the home that they live in? Putting it beyond... Oh, I see. They put it in their name. You fucking asshole.
Wow.
Putting it beyond the Albano's reach. Frank himself has claimed to be involved in his brother's campaign. Oh, really? A senior...
No, he's not.
He's a senior advisor to his 2020 political action committee.
This guy does a lot of advising and consulting.
Yeah, consulting for a complete dork. It's not just the Albanos he's ignored. There's the law. December 23, 2019, 2 days short of Christmas, his license was again suspended over an unpaid traffic fine.
God, does he pay any bill?
According to Palm Beach County court documents, citation was issued to him October 16th. By November 20, he had failed to pay the fine, leading to suspension the following month. On January 4, we saw Biden behind the wheel of his partner's $40,000 2.0-liter Range Rover Evoque, not to be confused with the supercharged Range Rover. Oh, isn't he something?
It's pretty cool.
When confronted about driving on a suspended license, Bidley swiftly sent us a Palm Beach County court document showing he had satisfied the citation that day. But when it was pointed out he was photographed driving after the suspension and before the fine was paid, he didn't respond.
Wow.
Does this story have an end?
Unlike Biden, okay, the guy from Whole Foods, Turton,
yeah,
who was driving, did take responsibility for his actions, was found to be negligent operating the vehicle. He pled guilty to felony hit and run, was sentenced to 3 years probation. He settled the civil lawsuit for $100,000, which was paid out by his car insurance company, although he tried to pin the blame for the accident. Oh, wait, wait.
On the guy.
On Albano for darting out in front of the car. Yeah. The 46-year-old is currently VP of Business Development for his mother. Boy, he's gone a long way from Whole Foods.
Sure. Well, he's
his mother's real estate company, Diane Turton Realtors in Point Pleasant. The married father of two says he knew little of Biden. There he is, a picture of him.
Well, I mean, give the guy credit for turning his life
around. Oh, here's
around
the girl in the back
after
seat.
For killing somebody. The one that got hit seat. How's her face?
Oh, it looks a little... I think she got, looks like she might have gotten hurt. I think, could Frank Biden do better than her?
Yeah, yeah, she's not. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why he could do better than her, because his name's Biden.
Well, that one looks kind of cute.
He says, I barely knew Frank Biden. He used to come into work where I was at Whole Foods Supermarket. We became friendly, and one night we decided to go out. What is he picking up guys to party with?
Yeah, probably got him drunk.
It's a tragedy I live with for the rest of my life. I have two young children. They don't even know about it. I don't really want to say anything more about it. I've moved on with my life. It's been 20 years. I haven't seen or spoken with Frank Biden since the night of the accident. Backseat passengers, Heather, now 45, Charity, now 43, both live in San Diego. They declined to comment. David Russell, the third passenger, died in 2006. Because of Biden.
I was just going to say, how Biden kill him.
Grandparents of Albano's daughters who raised the girls were also reluctant to comment. Frank and Carmen Albano answered the door. Carmen said to Frank Biden, what he did was wrong and he should pay the money. Punch it!
Jeez.
Oh, my God. What
a
dick.
And what I really like in a story.
I'm sorry.
Andy.
That's
believe me, I wanted to get to the end. I thought there was like a five-minute story.
That's really fascinating.
Nice going, Biden. Punch it!
You fucking loser.
I'm the big cheese.
Hey, Mindy's kind of hot, though, the former Hooters waitress.
Oh.
There's a picture.
Well, of course.
Picture of her. Let me see. With Joe's arm wrapped around her waist.
What is she doing with that loser, Frank Biden?
His last name is Biden.
She's 47.
Hooters,
she's
Hooters,
really
Hooters.
Pretty. And she's with the 66-year-old loser, brother
of Joe Biden.
Nice
set of Hooters you got there.
Good God. You still there, Brandon?
Yeah, I'm listening intently. I enjoyed the story. I didn't know the story. In fact, I wouldn't have been able to tell you that that Joe had a brother, but it seems that every presidential candidate has
a loser
that
brother.
Family member who is just the black sheep of the family, you know?
Well, he's got the kid and the brother, and actually there's other siblings who are alleged to have. And that story, you know what? I read that story the other day, and the only part I saw was that he grabbed the shifter and told her to punch it. And I just thought,
that's
so,
a bunch of malarkey.
That was so dumb that I thought it was kind of, you know, at least interesting. And I had no idea the story went on and on and on and on and on.
I can't stop!
He he would have just paid what he's supposed to. Like,
there's a cliff.
Turjon. Turton.
Oh my God, we're burning alive. No, I can't feel my legs. Come to me, Brandon. And the medic gets out and says, oh my God. New guy's in the corner puking his guts out.
All right. Well, you want to hit the outro?
Sure.
Man, I had all this other stuff I wanted to get to, too. I'm looking.
Yeah, there was another teacher that banged her student, too.
I saw that. She wasn't... She's not in the starting nine.
No, but the story's pretty good.
Yeah, it is.
What happened?
Oh, yeah, I was going to get into the book about Melania Trump, which said her prenup was improved before she moved to the White House.
Yep.
She says Trump is hung. That was the only thing I was bummed about.
Well, what did Stormy say about that?
She said it was average, I think.
Well,
yeah, but
her.
What's average for Stormy Daniels? I mean, she's seeing 10 inches on the daily.
But I thought it was funny. Melania allegedly gave him posing tips.
I use the word tiny.
Lift and extend your chin. Be in the back of a group. You'll appear thinner.
Huh.
And during the Stormy McDaniels, Karen McDougal thing, she had to actually go to a hotel to get away because she was so pissed. And the whole pussy thing, grabbed by the pussy.
Sure.
The author quotes her saying, "You might have blown it for us."
Oh, so she wanted to...
It makes it sound like she was very much wanted to be First Lady, which I would have never, ever thought. And also there was a lot about him parading her around and making her turn around. You know, isn't she stunning?
Yep.
There's some more. We'll talk about it tomorrow. We're out of time. The show is way too long. What the hell am I doing? Okay, bye.
Hey, don't you dare yell at my wife!